Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Rob Has a Podcast. I'm your host, Turn Armstrong, and we are here today to talk about the finale, the ending of season 3 of The Circle UK. With me today is Puya. How you doing, Puya?
I'm doing phenomenally. This was a it's been a very fun season. It ended with a bang, and there is quite a bit to unpack, and I'm just excited to get to talk about all of it here.
Yes, a lot to talk about here. Also joining us is Rowan. How you doing, Rowan?
I am, as per usual, absolutely wonderful. And yeah, this is your warning, audience, for anybody watching, for anybody listening, strap in, because we have got a lot to talk about. Like, strap in. We're going to be here for, what, like 10, 11 hours minimum? We got things to break down, people.
Yes, definitely a lot to discuss. Finally, we have Geneva joining us. How are you doing, Geneva?
I am great. So excited to talk about the finale. A lot happened, a lot to talk about, a lot to reflect upon from this week. But I'm just excited to be here and talk about it with you guys.
Yes. All right. Well, we're here. We did it. We got through. The finale has aired. We've crowned a winner. So this is, will obviously be spoilers from the previous roundtable or podcast to this one. I think we ended at episode 15 last time, but really we will be spoiling everything, the entirety of the season at this point. So if you are not fully caught up, this is your warning, because our winner of season 3 is Felix, a.k.a. Natalia Fisty Bump. She did it. She pulled it off. How do we feel about this? Because I got to say, I was very happy with this outcome myself here.
We should never have doubted our super soldier. Like, yeah. She can bake, she can paint, and she can evidently win the circle. She's phenomenal. I've yet to find a single thing that she can't do. Maybe she can't make friends with the newbies quickly, but like that's one tiny little thing. But she is our winner, and I'm delighted because I didn't actually see it coming, and I love a surprise. I love when there's a little twist in the tale.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun to see. This is the first time, I think, in my circle watching experience where literally there were four people that I would have been happy to see win and one person that I wouldn't have been happy to see win. So Felix winning was a surprise to me. We'll talk about the final five of it all, because I did some number crunching on a Google sheet earlier today. And if the fifth place finisher was not there, they would have tied, which is insane. All four people would have tied. So the fact that Felix wins through that whole thing, incredible. I didn't see it coming myself. I know we kind of had murmurs of, you know, it could be Saeed, it could be Felix, but Felix was not high on my list. So to see Felix win was surprising to me, which I did enjoy.
I definitely felt sort of a momentum for Felix in this final week of the show, where she seemed more and more likable to me. The Fisty Bump thing was like, I was prepared to come on the podcast and be like, guys, I know we talked about Felix and that we liked her last time, but she's really grown on me. I love Fisty Bump. I love that she's playing the game. I'm really starting to enjoy her. And it really does kind of culminate in this win. I think it's the perfect ending to the season to have her and Manrika tied for first and her pull away with the win after everything that Manrika did in the game. And also, like, I thought tactically that Felix was going to have a really tough time of it, because surely if any one of these four is going to rate tactically, it's going to be Manrika. And after a game of tactics playing, she doesn't rate very tactically in her final rankings. She puts Felix first. She puts Tom last. And that ultimately is what's going to cost her the win here, Geneva.
Yeah, and that's what I was thinking about. She was saying, she's like, I'm going to vote tactically. But then when I looked at how she voted, I was like, this is not tactically. She was voting with her emotions. And ultimately, that is her downfall, which is quite sad, because honestly, if I have to think about who played the game the most strategically and I felt who played the strongest game, I think Manrika personally did. So for me, I was a little disappointed to see Manrika lose there, but I was also kind of like, this was her mistake. She put too much, you know, trust and faith into Felix. And then when she met Felix, she was disappointed. And it ultimately led to her losing to a catfish and not having a circle boyfriend to come out of the game with. So I think that's kind of where I wish that she really thought about, who would I be okay with winning? Because it's like, even though she was kind of supportive to Felix in the end, I still could tell, like, that's not the outcome that she was hoping for.
Yeah. And I think it is the best ending here, in the sense that it's perfectly fits Manrika's entire game, in that her entire game was what she called tactics, mm-hmm. but often felt like they were something other than tactics, right? Like, she was tactically playing her sort of personal game. And that's what it felt like. And like, taking out Tally for Felix felt like that. And these final rankings also felt like that. And so for that to be the reason she loses, it makes a lot of sense narratively. Makes a lot of sense tactically as well, and for Felix to be the one as well to win out over her here, this is the circle. This is season one of the circle. This is how it works. Like, season two of the circle had the most disappointing ending because there was no poetic justice anywhere. It was just random. But this had a great story here, Rowan.
I think you have hit the nail right on the head there. The parallels with season one, like, I'm even thinking about it now, there are so many. Similarly to Alex / Kate in the first one, in season one and season three, seemingly in my UK brain, the impossible has happened and the winner didn't really have a sob story. Like, you can't say Alex really had a sob story. You can't really say Natalia had a really good use for this money, and they have overcome the odds of being on a UK game show and they have won. And I think that's incredible. But yeah, the parallels between first season and third season are incredible. They are so similar. And I love the first season and I love the third season.
Yeah. I will say, there was one, I loved this finale. There was one part of the finale that I was incredibly disappointed with.
Ooh, please.
I hope you guys are on the same page with me here, but what the bloody are they thinking putting Saeed in the meeting room first?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah,
what are
strange.
They doing?
It was literally
unbelievable.
Like, I think anyone could have had the order, right? I immediately, in my head, I was like, okay, first thing you do, you put Manrika in that room first. Mm-hmm. Then you put Felix in that room. That's how you do it. Because then they'll have their tense meeting. They'll have their, like, we'll have the Freddie, Kate, that moment would happen. That's good. And then you can bring in, honestly, Tom was going to be last regardless. You put Tom last. Right. regardless. Then you can, I could see it going either way. I would have preferred it then to be Andy, because like, oh my God, Andy's real. Thank God. Cool. And then Andy meets Saeed and goes, whoa, what's going on there? Then you bring in Femi and Pippa, who they'll be like, oh, wow, okay, that's cool, whatever. You needed those two to be alone in there first. That's one. The second thing is, why were you announcing them ahead of time? I hated that. Mm-hmm. Why? I wanted the random of like, oh, I get to play the guessing game before I say hello.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Missed opportunity.
This was one of the highlights of season one. Season two fell kind of flat because just didn't matter as much. There weren't those.
Yeah.
Like, it just didn't matter much. US, it didn't matter much. We had this buildup, and this would have been like the biggest meeting, and it still was good. It still was good. But to have Hashu there, in the middle of this, like, they're even cutting to him and he's like, Oh, you guys do. And it's like, he's trying to break the tension with jokes and stuff. And I'm like, I don't want the tension to be broken with jokes right now. I get it, Hashu. Great. I love you. But you shouldn't be here. It should have been those two together so that they could hash it out. They could actually have a conversation. You could tell that there was so much more that could have been said in between these two. But with Hashu there, he's able to kind of like keep it calm and keep it level.
Yeah, the final dinner as a whole was a tough pill to swallow. I was expecting to come out of that with some iconic moments, some moments that we will be talking about for years to come. And it was a little bit lackluster. It started out great. I've got to give credit to whoever made the fantastic decision to have, what is it, In the Air Tonight by Phil Collins, mm-hmm. as Saeed is walking mm-hmm. down that hallway. That just hit in all the right ways for me. Love that. Love the fact that Hashu is also wearing the same outfit as Saeed has on in his profile picture. Like, that man is still delivering on the jokes. I love him. Love that man. He was robbed by there not being a sort of like public vote for just like a little extra cash here and there. Devastated that didn't happen. But yeah, the final dinner, I was, man, they just missed it. I don't understand it. See, it seems so simple to me that you put Manrika in first, throw Felix in, and frankly, the hope that we get a real Housewives of the Circle catfight going on. Like, that's what we want. That's what we all want.
Yeah.
We don't
yeah.
want this sort of like passive aggressive comment from Manrika. We want them to go head to head and just say it all. But you've got this sort of, I don't know.
So
Saeed is there, is just sort of sinking the vibe a little bit.
Here's my theory as to why they did this. I think that they really overestimated the power of they had this sort of romantic subplot of what really should be happening is that Hashu and Manrika should get together, guys. I think they wanted those two to meet up and there to be sparks flying. And then he could be there for her when Felix shows up. And then Emma gets to ask them after, like, oh, you guys. And then there could be like a real like romantic circle thing going on after the fact. And I think that was just such a flop of a decision that come on, guys, like there's nothing there. And even if there was, it's not going to show up in one meeting. Like, I guess that's just, there's nothing, that's not how it's going to work. If they become a circle romance after the fact, then you've already got the footage from inside the circle. You've got all you need to do that. It's not going to happen. They're not going to be like, oh wow, it's you. You're so handsome. Maybe I should be with you now. Like, it's not going to happen in one dinner. What's going to happen in one dinner is you're Felix. Oh my God. Like that's what they needed to go in on. I'm so disappointed that they screwed that up.
And the thing I was thinking about it too is they might have had a better effect if that was their intention, if they flipped it, because it's like if Manrika's in there and then she meets Felix and she's like, you're Natalia and they have that conversation and then Hashu comes in and then it finds out it's not Saeed. I just feel like that there probably would have been a better response to get what they were achieving. And I was really disappointed with the order as well, because I just felt like there would have been a more tension, more of a conversation between Felix and Natalia. And I felt like, you know, Manrique was holding back in a sense, because yeah. I think it was just an awkward situation in the way they ordered it, because it's like she had a lot to say but probably didn't want to say it in front of, you know, Hashu, but was also feeling really weird in front of Hashu because of the whole like, okay, well, he's a catfish, she's a catfish, so I'm just around catfish. And so it's just this really strange and awkward situation. So then it was exciting when she saw Andy, because she's like, at least I'm not, you know, the only real person. But I really do think, similar to you guys have been saying, the way that they approached it was wrong and the order should have been much different.
Yeah. And I feel like it prevents Manrique from interrogating Felix in the way that she would have otherwise. Like, wait, so when you said this, what did that mean? Like, we were like sexting at this point. Like, what was that? Like, you know, she can't say any of that in front of Hashu. And in addition to that, she can't even be overly mad because she doesn't want to offend Hashu / Saeed, who's also a catfish. So like, right, with another catfish being present, she can't be like, how dare you do this when he's sitting right there? And so it just really limits that interaction.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't subscribe to the idea that, oh, there would have been a physical altercation at all. I don't think that that's a thing that would have ever happened. So that is not a concern for them. I genuinely think, Taryn, you nailed it. I think they thought that this would have been Hashu's moment to confess his feelings, which anyone who's been watching this even knows he's not going to do that. He is someone who crushes from afar. When faced with it, he doesn't do this. So you could tell that wasn't going to happen. Based on the body language, you could tell that wasn't going to happen. So I think that it also put Manrique in this place of, she definitely held back giving her true feelings on all this because there was a third person in the room. Because now it's like, well, I need to make sure I don't look like I'm super angry and super salty about this, because this is a decision I made and I'm an idiot for, you know, like, she just, her hoodwink gets revealed in front of a whole third person who was literally telling her, this isn't the man for you. So she's like double caught stupid. Of course she's not going to like really give her reaction.
She's going to shut down.
Yep. Exactly.
Yeah.
I think one more thing that I think was like, is really awkward is, because Hashu can't really confess his feelings because he is still under the general assumption that Felix and Manrique have a relationship of some sort. So I think that's where it's even worse. But then we even see later, you know, Emma brings it up, which I was just like, oh, really? Like,
that's where I really felt like, okay, they were clearly trying to put, and Emma was like, oh, what do you think about it, you two? But man, Hashu, I loved Hashu, but he opens up when he talks to Manrique for the first time. This is just like everything that I imagined he would be. His opening line is, yeah, so really, I'm a YouTuber and I like to do pranks.
Like, you are than that. I don't know why your initial thing is, I'm a YouTube prankster. Because, like, let me tell you, YouTube pranksters don't have a good rep.
No.
So you could have done it way better than that. Just, I'm a content creator on YouTube. Done. Immediately.
No, don't even say you're a YouTuber. Just like, the first thing is to address her emotions in this moment. Not describe that you're a YouTuber. And also, just in case you didn't know what kind of YouTuber I am, I like pranking. So this whole thing was just a big prank to you. No, that's not what I meant. Then why did you say it?
Oh man, the whole scene just felt like a blind date that had gone like disastrously wrong. But I, for one, completely subscribe to what everyone is saying. There's nothing more than British TV producers like more than to play matchmaker. Mm-hmm. And I truly do think they were expecting sparks to fly between Hashu and Manrique. It was never going to happen. They slipped up. They messed up seriously. I think it's just emphasized that is what they wanted by bringing it up again in the studio. And yeah, they missed the mark here, but they have missed the mark in I mean, in almost every reality show that I've watched, I can guarantee behind the scenes, the producers are just sort of poking and prodding, trying to make matchmaking happen. I've been on a show like that. And yeah, they were trying to set, just from my one example, which was on the same channel, so it might be representative of everything that it's producing. They're desperate for it. Like if they see even an inkling of a spark, they are pushing it. They are prodding it. In every single interview, they are asking you about that person. They want that soundbite of you saying like, yeah, you know what? They make butterflies go in my stomach. That is what they want. So yeah, I fully subscribe to they were playing matchmaker.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be hard to have a real romance start in the circle to begin with. To have one start with like a schoolboy crush that is non-existent in the other person's mind is going to be all the more difficult. So, yeah.
I mean, if you think there's a world where I would have shot my shot with Liana with cameras there, knowing it's going to be on TV first, there's no way. We would have never gotten together. We would have never met each other because I wouldn't have done it. Like, he definitely, I understood him in that moment of like, she is beautiful. Like, she is way too good for me. Like, that kind of nervous energy. And then you face them, first person you're facing. And not only does he have to go through the whole, like, yes, yeah, so I was the 63-year-old guy that you said you loved because he was your uncle. And like, he's not going to segue that to, and also, I kind of like you. Like, there's no way that's going to happen in this short amount of time you've given him.
Nor
so there's no way that was going to happen.
Like, that would also be a terrible idea. is that how you approached Liana Puya? You were like, look, I am actually a podcast prankster, and I have deep feelings for you.
Yeah,
response?
Yeah, exactly. I did that. I pranked her first. And then I said, listen, I'm pretty much a jokester. I don't take anything seriously. Did you go out with me? No, that's not how that works. But no, I completely felt every bit of high shoe here. Because like, also, here's the worst part, guys. They literally said, oh, Manrika's coming. So he had like 5 minutes of panic before she's coming in because he knows she's next. So he's like, am I standing? Is my tie looking good? Like, how am I going to do this? Like, the mental gymnastics was too much.
Yeah, I love this because I feel like the sort of like awkward, nervous response to a romantic interest is often romanticized. But like the reality of it is I'm a YouTube prankster. All right, let's rewind. Let's go back to where we left off before and talk through some of the last week here. In the circle. The last time we left off, Manrika had just become the power hungry triple threat. You can only trust me. You can only talk to me. We're taking out Andy. This lasts about an episode.
Yeah, I've got to apologize because at the end of last week's podcast, I was almost falling out of my chair, hyping up the next episode, hyping up this battle between king and queen. And yeah, it just disappeared within 5 minutes. And I don't take any blame for that because they were hyping this up like it was the season finale of Game of Thrones. And they just didn't give us anything. Like, they didn't give us anything.
Yeah. We get like a book cover game where Pippa friend zones Femi. Andy says hashtag triple threat in response to Femi's cover, and they're all, what? How does he know? It's like, because it's a common phrase that you just chose as your alliance name. That's how he knows.
Oh, they fully deserve to be caught. They are sort of like think that they'd got caught, because when you have generic alliance names like that, when you don't think of something unique like the Black Widow Brigade or just something outside of the box, you deserve every bad thing that comes to you. When you take the boring route, expect to have consequences. And you know what? Like, even from a game perspective, we'll pass over this pretty quickly because there's other things to talk about. If someone comes to me with a generic ass name like that, I'm less inclined to believe them or less inclined to join because it just feels fake.
Mm-hmm. We get Manrika and Andy are still going at. She's not happy with Queen of the Circle being her book cover. But she likes the compliments, but she wants to hate Andy, so she's a little mixed here. And then Femi really goes in on Andy about all of his friendship making. And Manrika tries to walk a line here of like, I'm not supporting Andy, but I'm also not supporting Femi. And Andy's like, oh my God, she's going to vithen me. She's going to vithen me, Geneva.
You know, in terms of me and how I feel about like the moves that Manrika made in the game, I personally found them justifiable. I mean, if someone says something to ruin a potential relationship you have with someone in the game, I think it makes sense to block, you know, or get rid of Vithen if you feel like you're having, you know, you might have problems in the game. And similar with the whole Tally situation, like putting lower in the rankings to ensure that, you know, Felix doesn't get blocked. I think those tactical moves that Manrika was making, even though also emotional, I think they made sense. And I don't know. I think the one thing that did really bother me this week was I know that Andy was really trying to get people to distrust Manrika, but he was just like, you know, she's going to do the same thing to me and, you know, all this sort of stuff. But in reality, I feel like it was definitely a difficult situation because I think Manrika is in this position where she has a triple threat and she's been talking bad about Andy, but then she also wants to seem neutral. But I think that she still should have tried to say something that showed that she was showing more of a side, because then it's caused a lot of doubt for, you know, for that sort of situation. The one thing I've noticed was Andy kept bringing Manrika up in different conversations, and even Saeed at a certain point was like, why is this keep being brought up? Like, why does he keep doing this? And I know like they had their drama for like a day, but that was, for me, I was just kind of like, I think maybe I get she's trying to be Team Switzerland, but I feel like she should have, you know, showed a little bit more support to show that she's not necessarily.
This is like she lit up the signal flare here with the, like she thought she was being slick here, but she just because she'd already had the conversation with Andy where they had squashed their beef and he thought it was fine. But then when she is clearly trying to ride the middle here, like in a way, by trying to remain neutral and not give herself away, she gives herself away exactly for what she's been doing, which exactly. is I'm trying to pretend I'm still good with Andy, but clearly I've talked to other people about not being good with Andy. So I'm trying to ride the middle publicly, which tells Andy everything that she's been doing, including the fact that she's been talking to other people about him, which is what is going to prompt him to start being like, guys, do I need to worry? What's going on with Manrika? And I think this is really the beginning of Andy being able to get back into the better graces of the game because of this this whole challenge here. As it typically is, you attack someone in one of these games, they're going to be able to play the sympathy card. You don't defend them in one of those games, they're going to further be able to play the sympathy card, and it's going to help them win their way back up. Booyah.
Yeah, it's funny because I think that there was definitely some hypocrisy from both of them throughout the season, from both Manrika and Andy. Okay. You know, it's funny because they're the last two remaining real people, right? But then they were also like some of the more strategically inclined. I genuinely believe that they both tried to play to get themselves further, but then they also kept going back to that authenticity of it all. They both definitely had moments where it's like, oh, you're clearly saying you're doing a thing when you're not doing a thing. That is fine. But it was very much like, to me, I do understand in this moment why Andy has this way about him, because we've seen Andy's character play out. Andy is the guy who I'm 100% team authentic. I'm the dad. This is the family. Like, no one was banging the circle family drum stronger than Andy had. You know, no one was banging the circle siblings chat the way Andy had. So for him, it's like, you've been with me from day one. How are you like going a neutral line? I thought I'm at least worth a little bit more of a, you know, tip the scales over to my favor. That doesn't help someone like Andy. Like, you got to know how to play towards a guy like Andy. So for example, if this was her doing the same thing with like a Felix, I think Felix would be like, yeah, no, I'm pretty sure this is probably for game. That's fine. And they would hash it out in the private chat later. Everything would have been fine. But Andy's someone who takes very much these little things seriously, a lot more than the other players.
Yeah. And so we're going to see that Felix is going to try to mediate between Andy and Femi, who has also taken issue with Andy. And man, I really feel like Femi probably didn't have much of a shot anyway, considering the ultimate outcome here. But really bad strategic decision to just be so pissed at Andy for no reason. It's so strange. It's one of those moments where I'm like, did something happen that we didn't see? Because like, what is going on here? Why is Femi this adamant about it? It is what it is here. We get to the ratings. We see that Manrika rates Andy sixth, only because she thinks that he is plotting against her for some reason. I don't know why. Why, Manrika? Why?
I think she has a decent read, you know. So,
Manrika is one of those players that, like she just can't stop lying. Even to us, and even to herself, I think.
It's actually incredible when you think back, because she did lie in almost every single conversation. She would spin some sort of lie. Largely, though, she got away from this whole series relatively unscathed. Not a lot of her lies sort of came back to bite her. And then when they did, it's because some sort of twist in the game, like we'll get to, like triple threat, like, yeah, all three of us till the end, they go and then obviously come back. And then that's a whole other thing to discuss. So you can't even really blame Manrika for that. But yeah, no, you got to take your hat off to her. She can spin a lie all right.
Yeah.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
Apes hunt humans.
That is wrong.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
We get to the results, and Dot and Felix are going to be our new influencers, with Andy at the very bottom of the ratings. This is upsetting to Manrika, because she was really hoping that she would be able to get in there and block Andy. With Dot and Felix in there, it seems very unlikely that that would happen. They both have a good relationship with Andy. This feels like Tally all over again, Tally and Gemma all over again with Manrika, where it's like she hated Gemma, but Tally didn't, and she couldn't like convince Tally to hate Gemma. And the same thing is happening with Felix and Andy. There's a big twist here. And the twist is that the two influencers are going to have the opportunity to block each other from the game. I felt like this was a misstep in terms of how this was implemented, because basically what happened is they're both sitting up there, Felix and Dot, and they're massive allies at this point, so the chances of them blocking each other are so low anyway. What is the consequence here? They're being given a choice. Do you block this other one? But they didn't tell us what is the consequence of not blocking your fellow influencer. Apparently, the consequence was nothing. That if you don't block them, it's fine. Because I thought, like, oh, this could be an interesting prisoner's dilemma, where if you block the other player and they don't block you, then they're blocked and you're safe. If you don't block and they block you, you're out. If you both block, then maybe you're both safe, or maybe you're both, you know, maybe there's some kind of punishment. Like, I feel like there should have been some kind of incentive to distrust what the other person might do. And maybe you have to do something in retaliation in order to defend yourself against it, in order to prompt some kind of interesting prisoner's dilemma, instead of a pretty simple choice here of, no, of course you're not going to block your fellow influencers, even if they weren't massive allies. The social ramifications of going up there and blocking your fellow influencer would be massive. You would never recover from that game player image. So I don't think this is ever really going to work here, unless you get players up there that really don't know what they're doing. Kuya.
Yeah, I mean, literally look back earlier in the season where they're like, yeah, Gemma, you're the assassin. If you don't get this person out, your consequences, you leave. And Gemma does it, gets it done, and no one wants to talk with Gemma ever again, even though it's like, y'all, I would have literally been removed myself. So I had no choice. So to do it with the influencers, not only do I think that it's pretty much you're signing your own death warrant in the game, because the minute you come back, like, first of all, I don't trust you anymore. Second of all, you've essentially gotten someone out who other people clearly rated high enough that they like them. So you're saying, oh, you like this person? Bin them. I don't care about them anymore. Like, that is not a good look for you at all. And I do think the game player aspect of it, you become so much more of a gamer in their eyes than you would have ever otherwise. So this was a very clear, they also got unlucky, I think, because this is in theory a messy twist, but you could not have picked two people that loved each other more unless you put Saeed and Andy in that spot. And even they might have considered it more than these two. These two, from the minute they came in, were like, we're the newbies, we're giving each other first place. And I don't think that changed ever until like one of them was removed.
Yeah.
In my head, I was wondering, I was like, imagine if Andy and Manrico were the influencers. That's where I think maybe the twist could have been an interesting take. I think ultimately they just wanted to get rid of two people, but they're like, okay, we'll have the option of doing, you know, the instant double blocking where one person blocks, you know, each person, or we'll just throw this in there. But I think, like you said, Taryn, I feel like there should have been like some sort of, I don't know, penalty in some way or some sort of catch to actually choosing to block somebody. But I do feel like maybe if it were different people, it might have had a bigger impact.
See, I feel like with the current rules, even Andy and Manrico wouldn't have blocked each other in this, just because Manrico wouldn't have wanted to be like that person who blocks a fellow influencer. Like, she wanted him low on the rankings so she would have an excuse to block him with somebody else, or have somebody else block him. I don't think she would have made the call unless there was some kind of potential negative if she didn't, or positive if she did. I feel like maybe the way to make this work is have it be the blocking after this one, the one, not the one right before the final, but the one before that one, and say, hey, if you successfully block your fellow influencer, you will be safe in the next blocking. You have an automatic pass to the final. If you both block each other, neither of you will be blocked and neither of you will be safe in the next round. And if you both keep each other safe, then same outcome. You're both still fine. And you're both not free to go straight to the final. I feel like that could provide at least a little bit of extra incentive, you know, or maybe even have some extra punishments or benefits after that. But you know, yeah, I think you need to add a little bit more. I like the concept, though. I feel like this is something they should think about a little more.
I will admit, I feel pretty strongly about this twist. I love the sort of workshopping that you just did, Taryn, and you just made this twist like 20 times better. Like, someone from the studio should be calling your phone right now. But when I was watching this, I couldn't help but feel this might be my least favorite twist in Circle history. I absolutely despised it. I absolutely hated it. And it's not even necessarily because of how poorly it affects the game or how unlikely anything is really likely to happen. I hated how they treated it on the show. Because number one, it's been mentioned already, they so poorly explained what was happening here. I was lost. I was paying like very close attention, and even I was lost. I didn't know what the rules were. I didn't know what the consequences were. They just gave this twist so little respect. It felt like they could have just edited it out and there would be no repercussions. But they just, it felt like they didn't believe in their own twist.
Yeah, it felt like they threw it in your face and they tried to like do it so quickly that they were like, don't think about this. Don't think about, oh, what could happen? Oh, they could do it. Don't think about it. Oh, and it didn't happen. And now if you think about it, of course, it was never going to happen. But we got you in the moment, didn't we? Which is like the, you know, that's a last resort in terms of, making television, right? You know, it is what it is. They're then going to, and it became clear to me what would have happened given what happens afterward. They're told now you will be doing a double blocking. So clearly what would have happened is if they had both blocked each other, then they just would have taken each other out and then no more blockings that week. and if only one had blocked the other, then that one would then, I imagine, have gone on to block one more as well, because they were just going to have two people blocked regardless. They are then going to make the easy choices here. Pippa and Femi are going to be blocked from the circle, and Manrika is pissed. I just did that #triple threat with the light box. I just immediately lost my alliance. But it's like, Manrika, what did you expect was going to happen here? Unless you get into be influencer, like they were never going to be influencer. Unless you convince the other people to be against Andy, this is not going to work for you.
Yeah, I think that's the challenge of aligning with people who come in so late in the game. And that's why I'm like, if I were in the circle, I would not want to be a late addition if I had some sort of control over that. Just because I feel like, I think Felix worked out where, you know, she was in a situation where she was able to form those connections, get her bro, Andy, and you know, that relationship with Nana Dot and the circle girlfriend in Manrika. So that worked in the end for her. But I just feel like you're kind of at a point where people have made up their mind and you really have to cause like havoc or chaos to get any sort of serious change in the rankings and the dynamics. But you're not even really going to see that because there's a sense of solidarity in general. I feel like with the OGs, people are like, we've been here together since the beginning, so we're not really going to shake up things. We're going to have the backs of the people that we have been with through this entire process and journey. Whether you have, you know, strong positive feelings for someone or not, you're still probably going to feel closer and more connected to the people that you met day one than these people who just came in.
Yeah. And I feel like Sammy and his kind of alliance in season two, like he understood how to make this work, which was, hey, well, I'm making an alliance to boost myself in the ratings so that I have control. You know, trying to just get other people down is not going to be enough. Femi and Pippa are going to meet each other. And at first I was like, that's dumb. Who cares how they feel about each other? Of course, they are going to be staying in the game and playing together under a new catfish profile. Tom the Priest, Father Tom. I get it. Why did they give them, I get it because, oh, look, now they have to play a priest. Haha. But that's just the most boring kind of catfish they're just going to be boring. Cause that's what they imagine a priest is. They're going to be a boring priest, guys. Like, what do you expect?
Even though I wouldn't expect a priest to be playing the circle. So that's where I just instantly would be like, this has to be a catfish.
We had a monk
There's
last
no
season,
way.
To be fair.
I mean, I guess, but it's like realistically, it's just like, I guess maybe they feel like, oh, maybe a priest can get for maybe emotional connections. People will feel like that priest is like someone they can talk to, have as a support, as a resource. But I knew that intentionally they tried to give them somebody who would be harder to play, because they're like, well, you got blocked, so if you want a second chance, we're going to make it difficult and not easy for you. But that's where I'm just kind of like, I personally wouldn't believe that I'd be probably hanging out with a priest in the circle. Same with the Dorothy, like 85-year-old. I don't know if I would believe that an 85-year-old is actually contesting the circle. I know they've had older contestants, but an 85-year-old, I don't know. So that's where I was just kind of like, I feel like they have no shot here.
Elizabeth and Chet's like, except they tried to make Father Tom a fun priest, beer, travel. And like, that's my point. A fun priest is fun because he drinks beer and travels. Any other person, those are the lamest possible like personality traits.
That was Pippa. That was all Pippa. The queen of generic bios.
I couldn't believe that Joey was like, "Hey Pippa, you write this bio for us."
Don't let her. Do not let her write bios. I swear to God, they're the most boring, generic rubbish I've ever heard. Like, oh, she panicked and said, oh, what do guys like? Football, beer. Like, yeah, that's an interesting person. No, it's not. No, it's not. I think there was potential with the Tom profile. I feel like you can sort of go with a fun little angle, like with that starting point of being a priest. But man, Pippa, girl, you just made him into like a wallpaper of a person.
Yeah. And obviously, I think what they were going for here, and it's just another reason why this twist kind of flopped, is that I think they were hoping that the influencers would block each other and then be trapped together and having to work together as a catfish. And that would have been fun. Or if like one influencer had blocked the other and then that person goes off with the other person that person blocked and now they're going back for revenge together. Like there are a lot of different ways that it could have gone there. But again, unless you offered them real incentive to make that move, I think the chances of it happening are just too low. Instead we get stuck with the two players we probably care the least about now working together under a profile that we still don't care about. And of course, given how they've structured this, they're going to make the final, which is a whole other thing, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Like you literally said, okay, we're bringing in two new people. We're going to call it an end. And then we're going to have two eliminations, but these two are going to be safe from the first one. So you pretty much said, hey, someone who's had little equity this whole time, you're guaranteed a spot in the final. And not only that, unfortunately for you, you're probably guaranteed last place, but come along and decide who wins the circle season 3. Nuts. It's
terrible,
nuts.
Terrible choice. Nuts. To let you guys understand this. They introduced two new players into the circle. They're both immune from this following blocking, which guarantees that one of the five semi-OG players, we'll call Dot and Felix OGs at this point, right?
Pretty much.
So one of the five OG players must leave in the blocking prior to the final blocking, and then only one player is blocked prior to the final. So it guarantees, it's impossible to have it any other way, that one of the two newest players will be in the final for sure. I don't know why they want that. I don't know why they think that's a good thing. How much more fun would this final have been if Dot was there instead of Tom, right? And Dot's decisions, because Tom's decisions in the final, just to quickly fast forward here, because we're on the topic of it. Yeah. I think we may have mentioned this, but how the final votes played out is that all four of the OGs tied up exactly. Yeah. And the only reason it was a tie overall is because Saeed put Felix last and Tom not last. He was the only one to not do that. But if Tom's not there, that wouldn't have mattered. And it would have been exactly tied. Everyone would have had one first place. It would have been tied all around. They would have had to go to some other kind of tiebreaker. And so basically, Tom's decisions, Joey and Pippa's decisions, their rankings were the rankings of how they placed, which meant that Tom completely decided the outcome of the final. Imagine a scenario where instead of Tom being that person, It's Dot, the person that actually knows these people and has played with these people and has relationships with these people. Or just Dot being there probably helps break that initial tie to begin with. And it's just, it's a much better final if all five of them have been in the game for much longer. I don't know why. I get why you would add players late. I don't know why you would force one into the finals when that just completely ruins part. One of the best things about elimination reality shows is that feeling you get at the end when all of these players you've been on a journey with and they've lasted so long and they all have a relationship and now it's all coming to a close. And when one of them is just somebody that you just met, it's kind of lame. But if it's like, at least if it's fair, if it's like, they had an opportunity to get rid of this person and they didn't because they betrayed each other, then like, okay, well, that's a thing. That's a whole story. But to force them in, it's just like, what are you doing?
Yeah. And it's like, if Alice were in the final, she doesn't know really any of them. So it's like, okay, I don't get how that ranking would have worked. I'm going to say that I was surprised that Pippa and Joey put Manrika second, considering the way they talked about Manrika in a lot of the episodes.
They voted tactically.
Yeah. I was like, yeah.
Sorry. Apart from the fact that they were all tied, they were correct in that Felix was actually the lowest of everyone, which is why Felix won Manrika 2 caused them to tie rather than just straight up Felix winning, because they were correct that Felix was rated lower. And that, again, was because of Saeed.
Exactly.
Now, again, if Tom wasn't there, if it was a final four, then Saeed putting Felix fifth would have been fourth would have been different. Right. It would have been third. It wouldn't have caused Felix to be last or lower than anyone else if Tom hadn't been there. But sorry, Geneva.
Yeah, no, I mean, even tactically or not, like I was surprised because they were just talking so negatively about her, especially like when they came back into the circle and realized, oh, she's like, oh, circle fam. Like, I love you all. And, Pippa and Joey went, but at the end of the day, like, I'm glad you guys are the ones that stayed. And I think that's also where I was like, in a sense, I didn't really like the twist as much because it's like, well, they have all this insider information and they are manipulating the game in a really weird way. And I mean, it did cause some drama, but then it was weird because then it led to, Alice having the difficulty of being framed for it.
Yeah.
Going
back to season one, right? Season one, it's a final four and it's the four players who have been there the whole time. And the reason Alex wins season one is because Freddie rates tactically and snakes his friends and causes the person he hated the most to win the game. And that is wonderful. Is such a great way to end the season because you know exactly why he did it. You realize that he made a mistake, cost himself the win. And it works. Felix won because Tom rated tactically and we don't even know why Tom thought that. We don't know why. We know what went into the tactical ratings behind Tom just arbitrarily making tactical decisions. There's no story behind it. There's no poetic justice there. We have to reach for the poetic justice of the Manrika storyline, which is good and it is great. But the fact that we threw in this Tom thing and the Tom thing mattered more than anything else is when we have to just ignore that is just dumb.
I think it's easy to overlook. And this is largely why I'm okay, not great with the Tom saga, is because it could have gone so, so much worse. I think there's a very viable scenario that we could be sitting here just absolutely mind-boggled because Tom has just won the circle. Because in my opinion, from all the seasons of the circle that we've seen, once you get to that final vote, it's the Wild Wild West. It's so, so hard to predict. We've just done 4 weeks of podcasting saying like, oh yeah, look at this group. They're playing, like their gameplay is like, they're really trying. And like, oh, they'll definitely be tactically voting at the end. If that did happen, I mean, tactically, you put Tom number one, because he's probably the least popular. If they're all thinking that, Tom wins.
Yep.
Like, I think just guaranteeing a newbie in the final is so, so dangerous for the show. And even the producers must see that. That is not a satisfying finale.
Yeah. Yeah.
If the person that has been there for three episodes ends up winning, but they put themselves in that position. They made that dangerous position for themselves.
Yeah. And any one of the original players, apart from Saeed, who unfortunately was just couldn't win because Tom put him last, any one of them could have won by putting Tom first. None of them did. Which is interesting in itself, but that should be one of the takeaways from the season. But if it is, and they guarantee a new player in the following, because like if everyone is playing optimally, then Tom wins every time. The new player wins every time. And that's probably not where you want your show to go. So,
if Tom had won this season, I don't think I'd be on this podcast.
Yeah. Oh, I would have been so
happy. I was so happy. I was literally cheering when I found out Tom was in last, because I was like, this cannot happen. I think for some reason, like the whole Tom drama with the whole anonymous chat, I think it kind of drove me insane. Like, I'm like, okay, yes, it's good drama. But then I think when, I'm sure, you know, we'll talk about it more, but like the OGs get, you know, catching on to this idea that maybe they came back. I think at that point I was like, one of the OGs has to win. And like, that's, and usually too, I think sometimes when I've been watching The Circle, I tend to like the real people win. But in this case, I was like, honestly, if Felix wins, I'm okay with that. I feel like Hashi played a really awesome game. I was actually super disappointed. Hashi was fourth. So I don't know. I think, If that had won, it would have showed a clear flaw like in the game. And I guess there is that flaw, but I guess it just really depends on how people are thinking. Some people are thinking, I'm going to vote for who I like the most. Some people are like, how do I ensure that I get the highest possible place?
Yeah. The only person's ratings who I think, final ratings, I think I would have accurately predicted are Andy's. Everyone else's are random. Everyone else's are different than what they've been doing the whole season. So obviously that's the thing. I will say this twist got saved in intrigue for me 100% by the OGs only. The fact that they were able to maybe suss out that, oh, it could be people that were here before. Mm-hmm. That's great. And I'm so happy that they blocked the wrong person, because if Alice is the one walking in, they're like, oh, but them getting the reveal of like, oh my God, we did get it right. We just got the wrong person. That was kind of at least fun for me. I did see someone bring up this, and Taryn, you let me know. Remember in season two, there was a celebrity that was brought in early, like episode two,
right, yeah.
And their objective was get blocked. So if you want to fill up a quota, that's not a bad way to go here at the end. Bring in a big name celebrity and be like, okay, your objective is to literally just get blocked. So do your worst. And I think that would have been fun.
Yeah. They're basically just asking to be Chris Underwooded here, and nobody wants them. So we do get a new player. It's Shabazz going in as Alice, a high school teacher. I did like that he said that I would be killed in the first 10 minutes of the movie. Alice is the final girl. And I did like Shabazz. I thought that he could have been fun. But again, as a late entry, it just wasn't going to work. I think that he needed to come in earlier. We run through here. Manrika has, she says she has to change up her game plan. She always has a backup plan. She needs to grovel back her way back into Andy's good graces, which I actually thought was kind of a mistake, because I feel like first of all, Andy could have blocked her in this coming blocking, second of all, Andy clearly has Saeed and Felix now ahead of her in the rankings, and he will rank according to his own personal list. He will not rank Manrika tactically. So I did feel like the backing down was maybe not the right call, but felt like she I think it felt to her like it was the only call, because she wasn't going to convince Felix to go in a different direction. She wouldn't convince Saeed either. We get the goodbye messages from Pippa and Femi. We get to, Tom gets to watch, Pippa and Joey get to watch, the circle chat, in lurker mode. And this is when they see that Manrika is playing everyone. Manrika's a snake. What? Oh man. Oh no. She's caught, Puya.
And like, that's so devastating because, you know, Manrika has been getting a lot of hate online. And I am anti that. Like, people sign up to play the game, let them play their game. Like, backseat quarterbacking will only get you so far. This was so unfortunate. This whole triple threat, literally, in my opinion, kind of starts becoming the demise of Manrika. And she gets punished for having the foresight to rein the new people in. We saw her do this with Dawn and Felix. We saw her do this again with Femi and Pippa. And this was good. But when they see this and they see her preaching Circle Fam after dragging Andy, like, yeah, forget her. Because my thought was, obviously, they can't come in as Tom and be like, oh, Manrika, by the way, it's me and Pippa. Like, we got you. Let's keep this going. But we're this person now. They can't do that. But I thought they would warm up to Manrika from the jump. So the fact that they came in and they were like, oh, Manrika's a snake, huh? Okay, we don't want this anymore. New break. It literally felt like Manrika had to replay the game from the beginning in the last week, which was kind of fascinating to see because I think that a lot of people would have looked at him like, oh, Manrika's not going to be able to mend the bridge with Andy. She's not going to try and fix things. But ultimately, it did work out for her in a way. Like, she was able to patch things up with him. She was able to do stuff despite having so much going against her within the span of 24 hours with losing the triple threat and then having Tom see all this and be like, no.
Yeah. Some interesting stuff there. We get Alice trying to play the game. Alice says, I need all six kingdoms for the Iron Throne. I like that. Except then I remember what happened to that show.
Sad times. Let's move on.
So we get Alice pretending to have lost her Nan to bond with Dot, which was, I thought, kind of a clever play in there. But again, like, what is this guy really going to do? We get to a snap battle where all of the OGs are going to win against all of the new players, obviously. Then Manrika apologizes again to Andy and really, she says, I've got to grovel a bit. I've got to do this. I'm sorry. I didn't defend you. And there we go. Andy says he doesn't want to block Manrika anymore. It's squashed, Rowan.
That's interesting to me. Interesting indeed, but it's just, I don't know. I'm still processing it at the moment. I feel like I just need to pioneer this campaign of hashtag justice for Alice, because it's not fair what's happened here. It's really not fair. Like, I have been so vocal of my admiration for villains. I love villains. I love villains so much. They're always my favorite game players. But you know what I don't like? I don't like when production themselves are the villains. And by chucking two new players in, or two new-ish players in the final week, man, that is a crazy villainous move. It really is. And man, it just doesn't sit right with me that this poor kid, I mean, he's not a kid, he's older than me, has been through the entire casting process. He's been through the entire quarantine process. He has just been waiting for his shot and he's chucked in at the last minute.
And he's sat there and sequestered this whole time, right? Like,
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But now, to be fair, again, if he survives this blocking and gets to the final and the other players are playing optimally, he wins. So there's that at least. There's going to be Alice makes a question one of the new players asks the question. Felix, are you using your romance with Manrika to boost your popularity and ratings in the anonymous game? And it's after this, Saeed again is going to be like, I'm worried that Felix is a catfish. So he goes and interrogates Felix, says, I hope you're not planning on hurting Manrika. She's been through so much. Felix is like, oh, this sounds like a grilling. And she says, I won't be hurting her. It's very uncomfortable. And I feel super guilty. And Saeed's like, I will 100% talk block this guy if he's fake. Like, dude, Like wording.
This is where I would argue this was probably the worst move of Saeed's game entirely. This was way too, and I get that it wasn't a move. This was a heart decision. This was Hashu from the heart being like, listen, I care for this girl. I don't want her to get hurt. I feel like this, there's writing on the wall that she's going to end up hurt. So I'm going to go confront this person, but you're so close to the end. Don't do this. Like, this was genuinely, I got very worried for Saeed in that whole episode of like, could this be the beginning of the end? Could this be a problem? But I respect the heart decision, but also I don't like that approach. You know, I don't like the whole, yeah, like, hey, you better not, like, no, it's, I mean, yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, but just especially because like, he's not really a 60-year-old uncle. He's a 20-something-year-old guy who has a crush on her. So the sort of protective nice guy approach is a little like, just like, they really walked the line, I think. They could have gone with a very different edit for Hashu with regards to this storyline, I think.
Defo.
Yeah.
Defo.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's like, I guess, what sort of outcome are you hoping that he'd be like, oh, man, Rika, I'm not real, so, you know, we shouldn't be together. I think that's where it's kind of confusing, because I'm like, well, Felix is so deep in, there's not much, you know, Natalia can do at this point to, you know, I guess, pull away and then without it like affecting her own game. So it's just kind of difficult. And it's clear that Hashu is kind of at this point where it's like, I really like Manrika, I don't want her to be hurt. But it's like, if you're going to confront Felix, wait till after the show when you find out that, you know, Felix is a catfish. You need to make sure that you're in everyone's good graces so they'll rate you high and that you can win the game. So I do understand that he was concerned, and I appreciate that he was concerned, but I also felt like, you know, there were some reasons behind it about him feeling that way, because he's like, well, if I can't be, you know, with Manrika, then this old person is, you know, getting involved with Manrika and hurting her feelings. So I think it just became this whole complex situation where I think, you know, emotions definitely got involved into the game.
Mm-hmm. I think we need to, in this chat in particular, give some credit to our ice queen herself, Natalia, because she's clearly being tested here, and you can see it making her really quite uncomfortable in some places. Like, Saeed is shamelessly just going for the catfish jugular. He wants Felix to feel under pressure and crumble, but while Natalia shows heart, and they definitely emphasize that in the edit, they emphasize that, like, oh, I don't feel good about this, but this is the game. That's slightly a little bit of a winner edit coming in there. She survived it. Not only did she survive it, actually, she really got Saeed on her side.
Yeah, I got the sense from Natalia that, you know, she's, I think, 30 years old, right? And Manrika's like, what, 21, 23?
24.
Okay. Maybe the age gap isn't that big. But I really got the sense from Natalia that, because we've talked about this too, like, the flirting was so over the top and ridiculous that, like, and so middle school that surely nobody would ever buy in that it's real. And I think that Natalia was like, oh, this is fun. Like, oh, this is like a fun little fake, obviously fake circle romance that we're doing. I'm proposing to you, Manrika. Like, you know, this is like, I'm having a fun little middle school flirt right now. And I think that over time she's like, wait, are you for real though? Wait, are you really into this? And then like, wait a minute. No, I can't. I'm not going to be tricked into thinking that she could possibly believe this. Surely she's trying to trick me into thinking that she's really into it. But then constantly like other people are like, hey, you'd better not hurt her. And it's like, I think that it was around this time, I think, and maybe around the date time that she was like, I think she might actually be into this. I don't know what to do anymore. I feel very weird. I feel like that was the trajectory here. But
yeah, I think that ultimately, you know, we've literally watched catfishes on the UK edition, the US edition, who can't handle doing it long enough to the point where they self-sabotage, kind of like Gemma did. We're like, okay, I'm not Gemma anymore. I can't do it. So it's not easy. And then have people grill you is not easy. And then it was very clear, Natalia, her intention at no point was to to get someone like that. I think her intention was to play a catfish yeah. and win. It wasn't to make someone fall in love with me so badly that they'll rate me first and then, oops, it's not me. It's not who you thought it was. Like, that was never in her game plan. So you could tell she was struggling with that decision all the way until she gets a pep talk at the end, which I do think helped her just, you know, ride it out to the end. She needed yeah. that. She got that. We'll get there. So Natalia is fascinating for me in that sense where she very clearly came in, did it as a game, did it as a joke. And then when she realized the joke was getting serious and real, she didn't want to keep doing it, but also she can't stop at this point. If her main objective was to win as the catfish, she has to keep doing it. She has no choice. So that duality in her, the struggle of being a nice person and then being, you know, somewhat of a meanie for doing this to somebody, you could very much see that exist in her. And it was very interesting to see play out towards the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I also think that it was a little sad to see the end when she won, because she felt guilty. I could tell she felt really guilty for winning.
Best ending to the circle, though.
I thought it was a great ending in that regard that she won, because at the end it really was those relationships, her circle relationship, which, you know, helped her get that win, and even just, you know, her bro relationships. But I could tell it's like, she was like, yeah, this went maybe too far, and I feel guilty for beating Manrika, who is real, and then thought I might have been real, and then rated me highly because I was real. So I felt a little bit, you know, empathetic, but I did appreciate that, like, Manrika was like, you know, you played the game. Whether she felt, you know, happy or not for Natalia at all, she was still trying to reassure her, like, you played the game, you played it well, like, you deserve it, that sort of thing. But I think, you know, Natalia did a good job not trying to break from it, even though it was getting more difficult, especially when Hashi was like, you better not hurt her. You better not, you know, ruin things and everything. But she still kept going with it. But you could tell that she was struggling. It was getting very difficult for her.
Yeah. So we get the next round of ratings, and we are going to see Manrika and Saeed as our next influencers. And this is an interesting influencer chat, because Saeed is going to make a play to take out Felix, and Manrika says no. Manrika makes a play to take out Andy, and Saeed says no, which unfortunately just leaves Dot as the only person they can really block here. I feel like Dot, based on what I've read and heard outside of the show from the other players, Dot is probably the person that got shafted the most when it comes to the edit. We've said sort of all season long, like, Dot isn't really giving us that much in the show. And I think I even said, like, that may just be the edit, though, because she's clearly not getting a lot of time in the edit. And we're getting a lot of, like, very superficial kind of, like, ooh, I am Dot stuff. But there were apparently, like, a lot of, like, super deep conversations, emotional conversations that Dot was having with people. And she was doing, or he was doing, really, really well in the game. But as the person who gets cut right before the final, I think that they ultimately really underserved Dot in terms of the edit. We're going to get here that Dot visits Felix, and this was a great meeting here. Very cute, as Dot comes in like, what? Oh my God, you're so beautiful.
Were you guys surprised by how tall Scott was? Because, of course, like, we're used to seeing these players only interacting very individually in their own apartments. Scott comes in like he's the gentle giant. I don't know if Natalia is maybe just very small. I was so shocked by the height difference.
Yeah, I think I kind of had seen Scott as a taller person. I think the person that shocked me the most was how short Hashi was. He's like, I'm shorter than Manrika.
No, there's a shot at the finale where Hashu's standing next to Vithin and they're the same height. I was like, oh, wow. I could tell Vithin was short. I could not tell how what Hashu's height was. But so with this meeting, this is what I was alluding to earlier. This is where Natalia kind of gets her moment of, listen, I feel so guilty about what's happening with Manrika. And Scott is the one who says, you're playing the game. You're playing to win. Just keep playing it. Don't worry about that stuff. And I think that she needed to hear that, because you could tell that, you know, Sayid had kind of unraveled her a little bit, and Scott just put her back together and said, you are good. Keep going. Move forward. You've got this. I'm someone who did not care for Dot in the early podcasts. I talked about, I was very vocal. I was like, you're 85. That's a bad choice. No one should believe you. But in this house, it worked clearly. And Scott is someone who I started very much enjoying. And I was so bummed that this twist of, oh, both of you are safe, caused Dot to leave. Because I did see an argument in the chat of, well, Dot would have given Felix first. Why does it matter if Dot was at the end? But the key is Dot knows the other three really well and would have ranked them strategically, perhaps. And they know Dot well. So they might have, like, Dot wouldn't have been fifth or fourth in everyone's rankings. We know that. Tom was a more easy, yeah, we're going to put you last. With Dot, there would have been more fluidity. That ranking could be completely different if Dot was at the end. So I would have been very intrigued to see that.
And like, either way, Dot being in actual relationships with those people, there would have been meaning behind those ratings. They would have either been meaningful in the sense that they were based on relationships, or they would have been meaningful in the sense that she was, or he was, betraying those relationships in order to rate tactically.
Exactly.
Which, again, like, it just matters so much more. But there it is. They do talk about how Manrika has blocked every girlfriend she has had in the game. So probably a good thing that Felix was a man. It's at this point that Sayid is going to feel very guilty. He feels very guilty about blocking Dot. He's like, I don't know if Manrika feels that bad. Manrika's like not feeling bad at all. And then Dot reveals that it's Scott, and how she's like, oh, I cried on that sofa, man. Felix, of course, gives a fisty bump. Scott, you're great. That's the end of Dot's journey here. We're going to get some Manrika talk about why she deserves to win, and that she wants to play for her family. We get a few of these here. I think that they were really trying to sort of rehabilitate the Manrika image in preparation for the final. I don't know if it was intentional to sort of fake people out in terms of the edit, or if it was just to kind of like give a strong, like, you don't want to hate Manrika by the end. And hopefully people are still not hating on Manrika quite as much as they were before, given that she, I think, got a much better edit this week than she had in the past. But we definitely get more of her story. We do get if Felix isn't genuine, I will literally scream, which didn't happen. But, you know, who knows? Maybe it could have if Hashi wasn't there. Manrika says she thinks the final ranking will be based on who's worthy enough and who deserves it. That is her read on it. I don't know if it played out that way, but we'll see. We then play the getting blanked game, and this one is only really relevant insofar as we get Tom, aka Joey, and Pippa, who say, it's so obvious that Manrika is a game player after what she did to Gemma, which is information only a past player could know. I really liked this move. Now, it backfires in a major way, but only because, and this is ironic, they have information that only a past player could know, but they don't have the further back information, which is that somebody has already returned from the circle to clone Tally. And because of that, the idea that a past player returning is already on their radar. And so when this pops up immediately, Felix and Andy go to, it's gotta be Pippa or Femi, who did this. And so, I very much appreciate the attempt. This, it does backfire in a pretty major way here, Rowan.
Oh, I love the move. I really love the move and thought it was quite clever. They got tremendously unlucky, really. And I don't have a lot of time for Femi, Pippa, or Tom, but you've got to give credit where credit's due. They got incredibly unlucky that they were caught in this lie, because just another moving piece didn't move in the way that it did, they would have gotten away with it and really sown a sort of seed of distrust between the original OGs, and then who knows what would have happened.
And they did get Manrika. Manrika bought it, hook, line, and sinker. She was in. She was ready to bite heads off.
Yeah, and it didn't help that the other three brought it together. I have a suggestion for this. So obviously we've seen where if you get picked a catfish profile, they give you, you know, documents to back that up, right? So it's like, oh, here's the stuff that Tally might potentially know that you need to know. Mm. I don't see, and like, they're not giving them too much info. I don't see why they couldn't have given them, or maybe they do this in the future, just give them the who was influencer and who got blocked. Just the names. Because if they could have picked someone that was earlier in the game, that would have definitely caused an unravel. Because they picked Gemma, and it was very easy, like, oh, so they know Gemma. That means it can't be someone that was that far along. Okay, that leaves Pippa and Femi were here. Like, the shortlist was too quick to do that. And I do think that this is a way to make this a solution. But I agree, Taryn, in that the fact that they had this twist alongside the Yolanda twist or the Orange Tally twist earlier makes it so that this is something that's fresh on their mind. So maybe in season six, where like there's clearly big fans of the circle that are applying and they understand the meta and they've seen the game play out, maybe then they wouldn't need this to like put stuff together. But in this instance, it was too fresh on their mind that this had just happened. So putting the dots together really, really gave Tom a problem, because I commend, for as bland as the profile was, given the tools they had, I thought Pippa and Joey did amazing with trying to get this going and get something going with the Tom character. But they just got foiled by all of this other stuff.
Yeah, part of me wondered if the right call here, and again, you know, they can't know that this tactic wouldn't have worked, but they did actually have actual dirt on Manrika. Hashtag triple threat. She created an alliance to go after you, Andy. And that was real. And I think the problem is, if they had come out and said that, they would have been giving away who they were, even more obviously. And Manrika for sure would have just outright denied it. But at least it has the ring of truth to it. And Andy might have been able to see that truth. Whereas this, when you see through it, it's entirely meant to trick you. Right. Whereas something like, hey, she made a triple threat alliance. It's like, well, now you're admitting to me who you are in order to say this to me, like that you are admitting a truth to say something else. It feels more believable to me. I was surprised that they never went that way, even after all of the other stuff. Obviously, they felt like their plan had worked because they got tricked. And maybe so they didn't feel like they needed to do that. But I was interested to see if they would, and I was kind of disappointed that they never did, because it would have been very fun if they had. We then are going to get into this thing here where Felix is going to subtly interrogate Alice, but it's very obvious what she's doing. And they're eventually going to be able to get to Manrika and say, hey, hold on, this is not one of us. She's like, I'm absolutely devastated. I've literally just stopped crying. And they're like, no, dude, it's obviously one of the other people. She's like, oh my God, that makes so much sense. So Manrika
crazy
comes
as well. This plan, which I think had legs, just if it played slightly differently, instead of disbanding the OG family circle, it just made them so much stronger. It was so unfortunate that it worked out that way.
Completely brought them back together. And now they're coming up with a plan to trick the new players into thinking that their plan worked, which like at this point in the game, like once they bond together, you know exactly what's going to happen. Right. One of the new players is getting blocked, and they're probably going to come fifth in the ratings after making a play like this. And really the only fun left to be had in the show until the final is, you know, are they going to figure out which one it is? And you know, how tricked are they going to be? And so they play a game where they call each other weasels. They interrogate Tom a bit. They interrogate Alice a bit. Alice tries to make a play on Felix and says, oh, Felix tried to flirt with me, but it immediately is called out. And this is part of why they then are going to think that Alice is actually Pippa, and they think Femi. And Saeed is actually convinced that Tom is real, which is very funny because he's usually spot on with these reads, but completely gets fooled by Pippa and Joey, who I felt like they did a decent job of knowing their stuff. And that's obviously because they were given materials. But the actual dialogue of Tom, I thought, was so contrived. I couldn't believe anybody believed it. I think somebody, Felix at one point was like, stop reading out of your script of how to sound like a priest and start actually saying things. Because it was all like, oh, my child, God says, like, what priest always talks like that? Right. I'm sure there are some, but not the beer loving traveling priests. Right.
No. No one speaks the way they text, right? And that's the big thing for me, is that I don't speak the way I would text someone. And I don't figure a priest would do that either. I don't figure Dot, like, that's the thing with Dot, was like, listen, I don't think Dot's sitting here speaking the way that she would be speaking in message. So it's definitely something that you can't, like, it just seems obvious that you're being fake, or even if you weren't, it doesn't come off authentic, because texting in and of itself is supposed to be a more informal approach. Now, am I in a text with any priest to tell you what they saw? No, I'm not. So I don't have any knowledge there. But I also see how this is a thing.
Priests are people too. It's the same thing. Like, old ladies are also people. People sound like people for the most part. You can't overact it.
Yeah, I think the one thing that they did luck out with was that because the circle decided to make them a priest profile as Tom, and when they decided to, you know, start some drama, stir up some stuff, it worked out for them in the sense that people were like, well, there's no way a priest would do that. Yeah. There's no way a priest would, you know, say something like this. But that's where I'm also like, you know, you gotta expect the unexpected in this game. Similarly, as you guys are thinking that, oh, it could be, you know, one of the new people, it could very easily be Tom, because it might not even really be Tom. And so that's where I think one thing that maybe people need to think about is, like, maybe any single person you're talking to is a catfish, and you need to think about it that, you know, you're more likely than not going to run into more catfish than real people. And we saw that this season. I thought there was an abundant amount of catfish. And then at the end, it was basically only Andy and Manrika who were the real people. So I think it did definitely help them. And I think it did create that drama when, you know, essentially people thought it was Alice. And then they're like, wait, did we get this wrong? Is this not, you know, a new person or whatever, or a person who's come back before. So I think it did at least make it entertaining that they didn't block Pippa and Joey. But because I think I had become more invested in the OGs banding together, I thought it would have been funny if they actually chose correctly. But the way things were going, it wasn't going to work out that way.
Yeah. So we then get to campaign time, where they're all going to make a pitch for why they deserve to stay and win. Saeed says he'll use the money to help where he came from, Bangladesh. Tom, I did think this was probably the most impressive work that they did here, saying that they were going to use the money to help displaced families in Indonesia. Again, I imagine that came from the materials they got. Alice says, I don't deserve it over anyone else, but I would like it. Manrika says that she would use the money to help her mom. Felix says, real men cry. And being in the circle has helped her realize that. And she wants to fulfill her dream of making an outdoor training camp for children. Fisty bump. This really convinces Saeed that Felix is on the up and up. I think that many of these were condensed down for the show, given the reactions that people had to them. Everyone was like, oh, what a great one from Felix. And I was like, what? He said real men cry. Like, what do you mean? It's a, I mean, sure, but... And then Andy gives this speech about doors and mountains. And they're all like, wow, that's amazing. And I was like, I mean, it was fine. Again, I feel like there must have been more to this. I did appreciate what he said to us, though. He says, I want to win not because I've had it tough, but on the merits of who I am. He did not want to just tell a sob story and win out of sympathy. And I really appreciate that he had that philosophy. But Saeed, as we said, convinced now that Felix is right and good. And he says, Felix, I've seen a new side of you. I'm sorry that I was wrong about you. And Felix is like, no, don't apologize. This is worse than the first one. You've done nothing wrong. I'm in the wrong. Don't apologize, please. Here we go. The four agree. They're sticking together. We get some more rankings. They call them ratings, but they're ranking. They're not rating anymore.
Right.
We then get the blow up here between Felix and Alice. Is there anything you need to tell me, Alice? And this is where I feel like Alice needed to just be like fully open. Be like, yes, I tried this thing on you. I'm sorry, whatever. I feel like that was his only hope here. But instead, it's like, what do you mean? What do I need to tell you? I've been flirting with you. What? Oh, flirting? What do you mean? I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about. And Alice calls Felix out. Just like comes right at Felix, and Natalia just like hides behind her couch. She's like, oh my god.
I do appreciate Alice taking off where Vithin really left off in just being a shameless troll. Mm. just shameless and inevitably getting caught for it as well. Not doing a very good job of it, but you know what? I appreciate for the TV-ness of it all. I appreciate it.
Yeah, like to me, if I like you, Geneva, if I was to play the circle, my worst nightmare is being one of these last people to come in. Obviously, I feel like if you're in that position and you're like, well, clearly I just spent 17 days in sequester. This show is going to end in like 4 or 5 days. The first day or two, it's like, can I win? Realistically, do I have a shot here? Definitely. No. Okay, I'm just going to burn bridges and make TV. And I think that's what Shabazz ended up having to do. Like, there's nowhere else to turn. Might as well turn it on a little bit and see where it goes. Have fun with it.
Yeah. And I, you know, Alice is like, you know, you're a very big game player. You push the Nana Dot relationship, the circle couple, the bro with Andy, you know, the Uncle Saeed and flaunted it. But then even just hearing this quote, I was like, Natalia's in such a good position. So even though Alice is like, oh, you know, you're a game player, because I feel like people are like to use like game player and strategic and tactical like as a bad thing. But it's like, this is a social strategy game. So I don't necessarily find that bad. I find mad respect for people who are playing the game, because at the end of the day, you're trying to win $100,000. So for some people, they're going to do what they can to win. I don't think people need to, you know, take things personally, you know, and call people names or things like that. But I think that really shows, like, even though, you know, Alice is like, well, this is annoying because like I keep hearing you say this, and you notice that some people, when people get annoyed with people and they see their messages in the chat, they get to a point where they're like, oh, they don't really mean this, they're just saying this or whatever. But it's like, but that shows it's like, well, they're playing the game and they're playing it well. So I thought the chat was kind of funny, but I was like, Alice, I don't think that's the way you're supposed to respond here. You're basically gone after this, and I kind of want you to go at this point. But thanks for giving the entertainment.
We then get a talk between Manrika and Saeed. Saeed has a quote that's very funny in context, speaking to Manrika, where he says, "The character is how you treat people who do nothing for you." Those are a very funny thing to say to Manrika. She tells him that it's not the photos or bio that she's bonded with, it's him, which warms his heart. And she says that he makes her feel loved. And this is what they're, I think, trying to push. They're like, oh, they should be together, guys, don't you think? Like, not necessarily.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office.
More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
We then get, we are then told that the rating results will not be revealed. The highest rated player will become the secret super influencer. They alone will choose who to block. And this is a terrible time for there to be a super secret influencer. Because the numbers are too low. The numbers have dwindled down too much. The four will know that it's one of them. They'll probably be able to, because Andy, I believe, would have heavily considered blocking Manrika in any other blocking, with yes. bigger numbers. But there's only four of them. It's obviously not Alice or Tom. Couldn't be. So when Andy blocks Manrika, Saeed and Felix both immediately know it's Andy because it's not going to be the other one. And so he can't do it anonymously. The numbers are too small. There's not enough room to maneuver here. And so he's just going to go with the obvious choice and block Alice. I did like Andy's celebration. I'm in the final. I'm in the final. And I also really liked so Andy has to block the player face to face. I do like these, but it's much better when they have a relation. Imagine if he had blocked Manrika to her face. Oh my god.
Exactly. The invisible HOH. No, sorry, not the invisible HOH. I mean the super secret influencer. Sorry. I'm getting my twists that majorly flopped mixed up. Actually, no, that might be a little bit harsh on the twist because I think it could have worked. The anonymity of it is questionable. Where it is in the game is questionable. But ultimately, I think it was ruined by our patron, Saint Andy, who just went for the easy choice. Like, if you gave it to Manrika, you know that she's coming for Andy's jugular. You know that she is going to take out the person who she thinks poses the biggest threat at the end.
I think even Manrika wouldn't have done that because these two new players are here and they're trying to cause dissension, right? Like, she's got to take them out because they're bigger threats to her than Andy at this point. And, you know, part of that is how this game played out. But I think that at any point in the final six, only one blocking away from the final, it's not the time to make an anonymous play. Like, the time to make an anonymous play are when there are nine people in the game. And the influencer could be anybody, and you could snipe somebody out and have lots of other options for cover. When there's only four other options for somebody to choose from, it's so easy to figure out who you are. And right before the final is the last time you want to be making a move like that to piss people off and show that you're not actually with them. Like, oh, you think you can take out Manrika and win this game? Screw you. You're going at the bottom of my list. You know, I just felt like it was always going to end this way. I did like, though, that Natalia would do this a lot. When she was waiting to see if she was getting blocked, she was just like sitting there with her Nerf gun,
Yeah, and I think the one other thing that I wanted to know is, I think in that situation where you have had, I like to call them the core four, basically, yep. I don't know. But the situation where the core four have basically come together and they're like, we know that one of them is not only a catfish, but is the one that's stirring up the drama. That's where I think even more so, if the, you know, I guess, secret super influencer decides to essentially block someone that is not one of those two people, that's the point where it's like, who knows where the ratings or rankings would have gone, like, in the finale, especially after they had all claimed they were going to stick together. And that's where, kind of like you were saying, Taryn, that probably could have backfired for Andy in the end if he decided to be like Manrika. But, you know, Andy did note, he's like, if I was going to be, you know, game playing and I knew who I need to beat in the end or who's hardest to beat, it would be Saeed or Manrika. So maybe I could have done that. But I think at this point, it's like, there's that huge emphasis on, we need to find out if it is Pippa and Joey, and two, we got to stick together, because if we stick together, we're at least going to rank ourselves all higher than we're probably going to rank Tom or basically. Yeah. So that sort of thing.
Yeah. All right. So Alice gives the goodbye message. They realize, oh, crap, Tom must be Pippa or Femi. And then they get some videos from home, which are nice. Tom is like, oh, Saeed is so vague about his message because Hashi didn't want to lie about it. But then Andy's very vague about his message. I saw my family. Mm-hmm. It was so nice. we then get to the final ratings. And this was very interesting right off the bat. Andy puts Saeed at number one. Felix puts Manrika at number one. Saeed puts Andy at number one. And Manrika puts Felix at number one. They trade it around. And this is why it would have ended up in a tie. So obviously, Saeed and Andy, loyal to each other, put each other number one. Felix and Manrika do the same. And I have to imagine that part of this is because they knew tactically that the other two would probably rate each other number one. And so they would have to rate each other number one as well. I think that ultimately Saeed is the most tactical rater here. And I do think that rating Andy number one, it certainly could have been out of loyalty, but I think it was also a little tactical, knowing that Manrika did not like Andy, knowing that Manrika and Felix were probably going to go for each other. It kind of makes sense for him to put Andy number one. It kind of did. If he doesn't put Andy number one, then one of Felix or Manrika are going to have an upper hand. At the end of the day, if anybody was rating tactically, they all kind of made the right call, because they all ended in a stalemate. But if some of them weren't, then maybe not. But ultimately, we don't see a lot here in the pre stages. We only see that Andy did put Tom last, and we see that Tom put Andy third. And so when I saw that they had all rated each other number one, each one of the four got first places, I was sure that Tom wouldn't win just based on the energy that they had. They're not going to let these guys get one over on them. And so when Tom puts Andy third, I knew he's out. There's no chance of winning, because Tom is going to have way a ton of influence on these rankings. So at this point, I thought winner has to be Manrika, Felix, or Saeed. I was kind of feeling like it could be Saeed still.
That is a question I have for you guys. I'm curious at this point. So we're just at the end of the finale. I'm curious who was your heart telling you was going to win, and who was your head telling you were going to win? Because in my heart, I was like, yeah, I'm here for a Saeed win. He's going to waltz out of that studio with £100,000. But my head, because I've been burned by UK reality TV one too many times, and maybe I'd started to believe the middle-aged Facebook mums, I really thought Andy might win. That's what my head was telling me.
You know,
I'm curious, where did your heart and head tell you?
Like, all through the week, I was getting more and more convinced that Felix was going to win. Heading into the finale, I completely ruled out Andy based on the Tom rating. And then I was like, okay, I can absolutely see a scenario where Manrika wins, but I can also see a scenario where Felix wins. And I can also see a scenario where, Saeed wins. I was like, I honestly think I couldn't decide. I was a complete toss up, for me outside of Andy, who I knew was out of it. Cause I had no idea how Tom would rate. And that was part of it, right? And it was basically arbitrary. But prior to the finale, I was thinking that I felt like it might be Felix. I felt like we had gotten so much from Felix, and I was feeling like we were getting more and more attached to her as time went on. So I was feeling that, but in the finale itself, I saw every single scenario, and I thought each one was very plausible.
My heart has and have and always will belong to Saeed. So I was like, that's my guy right there. Like, he can do this. But the Tom rankings were really the place that I felt most blinded by. But I too thought, when we talked last week, I thought Saeed's in the run, in the lead, and Felix is close up on second if anyone is. Somewhat in the finale, for whatever reason, I can't even explain this to y'all, but I kind of forgot about Felix having a shot to win. So I really thought we were going to end up with a Manrika win potentially. And I was very okay with that. I was like, I would love nothing more than the person everyone's been going after to end up taking the crown. I'm okay with this arrangement. I really am. Especially like if you're her, you know, you see, not only are you not going to have the man, not only are you not going to have your uncle, take the money. Because please take the money. You, at least you had this, you know, you talked about your family and this can kind of bring the family together. This is good. So I was okay with that. But I genuinely, in my heart of hearts, thought that this was Saeed's to lose from like the second week.
Yeah, for me, I think it was complex because all week I could see any of the four of them winning, you know, with it being Felix, Manrika, Andy, Saeed. I was actually genuinely concerned about Pippa and Joey being in the final. And that's actually kind of why I wanted them to be blocked, because I felt like there might be an outcome that shouldn't happen based on maybe their previous relationships with like Manrika, Andy, etc., in when they were originally in the game. So that's what I was generally concerned about. Personally, I think from watching the game, I really wanted Hashu or I wanted Manrika to win the game. But I was thinking that it could be Andy. But as I was watching later on in these episodes and thinking about Felix's position, Felix had, you know, had the bro, had the girl. I mean, Saeed was the only, I guess, issue, I think, for Felix. But even they, you know, kind of got to some sort of understanding. So I think as I was watching on, I was like, I could see Felix winning this, but I think I had always really wanted like a Hashu or Manrika win just because I felt like they both played the game fairly well. And I mean, I know Manrika had some difficulties, but she really built herself back up. And in the end, she technically almost won if it weren't for her, you know, for her thinking about her relationship with Felix.
Yeah, there apparently was some uproar on the internet prior to the finale because, and I don't know the details of this, but apparently there were a lot of people who felt like something had been accidentally spoiled and that Manrika was the winner. And people were very upset about it. And so it really came all the way up until the wire when that rug got pulled out. And so there were a lot of very pleased people on the internet with the outcome of this. But yeah, I do. So when we get to the final results, Emma says, in the result of a tie. And I said, okay, so there's a tie.
There's a tie.
And so when it goes Tom is last, I knew that. Then it goes Saeed. I was like, okay, Andy's not winning. Saeed's already out. It's a tie between Manrika and Felix. And oh my God, it's going to come down to who Tom rated first. And so that's all I was thinking up until they finally revealed it. And I really didn't know. I had no idea which one they were going to put first, knowing that they were probably ranking tactically. It would have just going to be a toss up. So, you know, that was what it came down to for me there in the final reveal.
I'm curious. I want to get the opinions of the panel. Now, I've got my opinion on this. But I want to see if I'm like way off or accurate. How would we all feel about joint winners? Just half the prize. Manrika and Felix, they are your winners of season two. They tied after all.
Nah,
how do you feel about that?
I don't want joint winners.
Well, no, I don't want joint winners.
if Tom had won, it would have been a joint win, but
that would have been bad. I don't want that.
As one, right?
Yeah. I don't want a dual player to win either. I want a single person to win.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I wouldn't have liked that. I don't think. I just want one winner. But that's where I'm wondering now, like, so in the case of if they had all basically tied, what would they have done? Would they?
I imagine they would have, because this is what I thought they might be doing. I would imagine that they would have gone back to your prior average rating.
Yeah, I think so too.
Because at first I thought they were saying the most amount of first places across the entire season. And I was like, whoa, but that's not fair for Felix because Felix wasn't there the whole time. Right. So I think instead, if they did an average rating over the course of the season, which also wouldn't be entirely fair because there's too much strategic rating that happens between like in the middle of the season. But I mean, there's strategic rating at the end, too. So it really doesn't matter at the end of the day. So yes. I think that's probably where you would go for an additional tiebreaker, at which point it probably would have been Andy that wins. Right. Who I think got the highest average.
He had the most influencer spots, right?
He had the most influencer. Although it would have been tight between Andy and Manrika, because Andy did have a couple of low spots and Manrika never got too low, but Andy was more consistently high. So maybe somebody in the audience will tweet at us or comment at some point and we'll do the math and average out the placements between Manrika and Andy. I mean, I don't think Felix would have been in a terrible spot either. Felix was pretty decently high in the time that she was there as well. So I think probably Saeed probably fares the worst just because he was consistently up there, but never too high. But who knows? Yes, we get to the meeting. We've talked about this, but I just still can't believe they did Saeed first. We then get Felix on her way and of course, Manrika says, could you imagine if it was a catfish, a 40-year-old woman named Brenda? Felix comes in and Felix also, Natalia also opens with the, well, it was kind of a social experiment for me. Well, I liked you and stuff, but did you not for one second feel bad? Every day I felt bad. Okay, now you're getting a little better.
Final dinner was just all around, in terms of dialogue wise, really, really strange. Because a lot of these players that we'd sort of like put on a pedestal of like, oh, you're quite clever, you're quite strategic. I don't know if it's just a symptom of them having been locked up for so long with no human interaction. But man, there was some, whether it was like, hey, I'm the YouTube prankster, or it was a social experiment. People did not play this well at all. I think it's just they're out of routine of talking to other humans.
And Gemma also, when Gemma explained himself to Manrika, it was like, I wanted to see what it's like to play the other gender. Like, what are you, how is this your first thing to explain yourself? Felix just keeps Rowan, I take issue with what you called the dinner, because there's
the
no
dinner?
Food.
Where's
the
That's
food?
What I was bothered
yeah, where's the
by.
Food?
No
they
dinner.
Do not
Where are
eat.
The plates?
It's ridiculous. So Felix just keeps reading. I had your back to the end. I literally wrote, why is Saeed here? This is so dumb. He's literally, Manrika eventually is like, okay, well, I guess we should do a cuddle or whatever. And he's literally like he's cracking jokes. He's cracking sitcom jokes. He's like, oh, a cuddle. I'll just watch you over here. This is not the vibe that we should be getting in the final confrontation. And Saeed's like, oh, well, I was about to cut off your willy, but obviously I can't. Ha ha. That would have been a great icebreaker after the dramatic conversation and Saeed comes in, right? But instead he's there and that's the confrontation.
We love Saeed here. Like, his comedy has been a foundation for this series and why I've enjoyed it. But not now. Not now.
Yeah.
Just
It's maybe because he knew he was playing a character. Like, even to do Saeed, he always had the voice, which made him make it more legitimate. And then now that he isn't Saeed anymore, he's like, I make prank YouTube videos.
Yeah.
So this is where I was kind of like, I don't know. This is the part of the episode that had the least amount of substance. I was hoping for way more. And I was just honestly disappointed. And I think it was probably because of the ordering and how they put people in there. But even so, I don't know, maybe a lot of these people are maybe socially awkward or more introverts, or just don't know how to respond, because now it's like, basically everyone you thought maybe could have been someone wasn't someone, because we did see more catfishes. So I don't know if that was why it's like, I know you kind of, but I feel like I don't know you at all. So I think maybe everyone just felt uncomfortable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that is the thing. That is the main thing for me, is that for Saeed, for Felix, this isn't just we're all meeting for the first time. This is double meeting for the first time for them, because you're meeting them for the first time and they're meeting you for the first time. And you know them as someone who no longer exists in your world. And if you're even remotely socially awkward, like, you can tell how Hashu is, it's like, what do I do with my hands? Like, does one normally sit here? Like right now, if Taryn and Rowan decided to have an argument, or if I knew they had beef and then they're on this podcast and they're like, throwing jabs. I'm not in the room with you. I'm on a call with you. I would literally be looking there as I'm talking because I would not want to face any of you.
Yeah.
So like, it's a lot to handle. So I feel like even if I'm like, yo, he's going to give me all the comedy in that moment, like, you really can't. It's just too many layers on upon layers of social dynamics that they are being introduced to for the very first time live on TV. It's a lot.
Yeah, you can tell that they've rehearsed this in their minds so many times and they still screwed up. Manrika comes in and Hashi's like stands up. He's like, table for one. And she's like, who are you? It's like, but that was supposed to effortlessly convey to you in a humorous way that I'm Saeed. but who are you really? Oh, well, my name is Hashu. I'm a YouTuber. I do pranks. And then Andy comes. What the bloody? This Andy is fun here. Manrika's like, oh, Andy, you're real. Thank God. Meet Felix.
I love that so much. That was great.
This is really funny too. Manrika's like, oh, Andy, so good to see a genuine person in here. I was completely honest this whole game. I never screwed you over or anything in this game. Never once. Just never did anything like that.
Never.
She's still lying. She's still lying.
Game never ends for Manrika, okay?
As if
never.
He's not going to tease us happen. Back, or yeah. People are not going to tell him. Like,
as
in
if
his DMs.
Pippa and Joey aren't on their way right now.
I'm telling you, no one in this room had it worse than Manrika. Let's recap Manrika's experience. First, uncle that's not an uncle, but is a guy about your age who has a crush on you that you now have to navigate. Then Felix. A woman who was portraying a man that you thought you had fallen head over heels for after telling him repeatedly that you had had dirtbag guy after dirtbag guy. And this is a different experience. Not real. Then it's Andy, the person who you tried to like get rid of in the game a bunch and then failed because your other people left. And then you had to make nice and pretend nothing went wrong. Then the two people that you conspired against Andy with show up to the dinner and are like, hey, what's going on, everyone? If I'm Manrika, I want to leave. I'm like,
yeah,
wait, did I win or not? Because this is not worth my mental. This is too much.
So Pippa and Joey come. I don't know if you guys caught this, but this was one of the funniest moments of the entire finale to me. They're doing the dramatic walk, Pippa and Joey. And then it's time for them to take a turn down the corridor. Joey turns and Pippa keeps walking straight forward. And they just do a jump cut to Pippa turning with Joey. Like, you had months to edit this. You left in this jump cut of her going the wrong direction.
Reshoot the walk, retake it. I'm sure you could have retaken it. Exactly. It would have been fine.
All they needed to do was cut before she doesn't turn back to the room, back to the turn, or just cut the turn entirely. Like, there are so many options you have as an editor. I have no idea how this made it to the final
editor got
edit.
Tired. They were tired. They're just like, okay, I'm over this now, so I'm just going to leave this in here, see if anyone notices. And
are we shocked that at the end of the day, after the four got revealed, that these two were the afterthought in the editing room? I don't think so. It made complete sense. It was like, listen, we got the meat and potatoes. We're good.
Yeah. Well, they come in. It's like, oh, it's Pippa and Femi. Well, it's actually Joey. They actually didn't really get that much of that because obviously the Femi obviously exposed himself already. But Pippa's like, do you feel bad? Yes, I feel so bad. And then this was the best part of them being there. They're like, oh, Andy, we meant to ask, how did you know about Triple Threat? It's like, what are you talking about? What's triple threat? It's like a business or whatever. And Manrika's like, oh yeah. Did you know about that? I've told you about that already, right? Don't you think? There was just this funny thing where I was just like, I was mad for like 6 hours at you, and I immediately felt bad about it, and it was not a huge deal. He's gonna watch the show, Manrika. Like, what are you doing?
That was a little highlight of a final dinner that kind of underwhelmed. I really liked that little bit because it's exactly as you said, Tyron. You saw Manrika scrambling and it was really, really funny.
Yeah,
I enjoyed it a lot. Like she was still playing the game, I guess. Maybe that's, she was probably still in that mode, because even though the final rankings are over and they're meeting each other, I think maybe that's why also we didn't see some sort of like over the top response, because I feel like if anybody would have one, I feel like Manrika would be justified to have one, because she literally had so much drama in this room with basically everybody. So I think maybe she just in her head, she was like, I'm still playing the game. So, Andy, you know, I never turned on you. And that's why I noticed, too, what was very interesting was like everyone was like, I had your back the whole time. I had your back the whole time. And I don't know if that was like people's indirect way of saying like I ranked you probably high, or if just like people still felt like they were in game mode. And so they kept telling people like, you know, we still had something that was genuine because I had your back in the game.
I think it was the way of saying like, hey, I wasn't trying to fool you. I was really with you. Right. And so, yeah, that's what we get. I will say, I feel like watching, especially this week, really, it just brought me to this idea. Obviously, the whole concept of the circle is that, like, hey, social media, it can be shallow and vapid. What is the reality of this situation? Can you play a social game? But I feel like the social experiment part of these shows, are kind of secondary often to the game or the drama or whatever. But this one really made me think about interaction via text, right? Because when you watch Manrika and you watch these relationships unfold, it's such a contrast between something like The Circle and Big Brother. Manrika could never do what she did in Big Brother the same way that she did it in The Circle. She actively despised these people and could very, very well hide it via text. She could have lots of text conversations. She could be like, I hate you, I love you in text. You can't really do that. You can't really do that in person. In Big Brother, when people don't like each other, it's much, much harder to fake because you don't hang out with them as much. Your physical location, the way that you have your body language towards them, the way that you speak to them. There are so many more cues. And I know this is very obvious, but I think that it really does kind of point to something that I found really interesting about the nature of like online communication, and that is something that we do a lot. And sort of like how easy it is to hide and fake and how you really are missing something. And I'm not that person. I'm not that person that's like, oh, we're gonna go all, we're all going to hell because we're using texting too much, or like the degradation of society. I don't think it's that deep, but I find it really fascinating. Just how deep in that hole you can go, where even Manrika, the person who was faking the most, was also the person that got tricked the most into thinking something was genuine when it was completely fake. And I think there's just so much fascinating sort of analysis and you know, intrigue there to look into. When it comes to the nature of, you know, just text only conversation and how much it really can trick people and trick people into thinking it's the same thing as something else. Not that you can't trick people in other ways, but it really interested me, Rowan.
I think it's fascinating. I agree with all the points you're bringing up. I think if any sort of show deserved, now it's far from the perfect show. We have elaborated on that at length, but if any show deserves a sort of dissertation or a university essay written about it, I think it is The Circle. It is truly unique. It's a truly unique sort of representation of modern day society. And yeah, I'm excited to see where it goes. I really am.
Yeah. It's almost like an imitation of real relationships. And that's what you see with the middle school romance and the Circle fam, the uncle, the siblings, and it's like they've created, and we talk about this, like, you know, reality shows are often like, oh, it's a mock society, but this really is like it's an imitation of reality, and it's so interesting.
Yeah, like for me, I'm someone who, you know, I brought her up already once today, but I met Liana through the podcast, but our relationship grew over text primarily. It was a lot of text. Obviously, there's video chats that go and get involved with Skype calls, Google Hangouts, whatever you want to call them. But I'm someone who does well with texting. Mm-hmm. Again, if I'm going on dates with Liana regularly, face to face, I don't know if I can give off the same person who I am when I'm texting. It's vastly different. So the fascination for me in this show is that you're seeing that side of people getting exercised. You're seeing the textual side getting exercised, because like I've had moments here where like I'll be chatting with somebody and they'll say something and I'll roll my eyes. It's not that deep. I'll roll my eyes in the moment, but I don't hate them. I don't have a problem. If I did that to them in person, I despise them. I'm an ass for doing that in front of them. So it really is different. They are two different ways to be. And it's funny because like, I know I'm someone who I'm very cool still with calling someone and talking to them for 10 minutes than texting back and forth for 30. I'd much rather do that. It's quick. It's easy. I know Taryn's like that as well. So like, but there's a lot of people in our day and age that are like, don't call me. Do not call me, never call me, text me. And then there's people that are like, I can only keep friendships by hanging out in person. I can't do it via text. I can't do it via video call. So being in the society we are today, having the internet be this big tool that's allowed us to communicate in very, very different ways, seeing a show that revolves around the texting aspect is immensely interesting to me. Yeah. Because you can literally, given the time you have, you can literally give the best parts of yourself while texting and kind of like pick and choose which words you want to use, where you want to use them, and make the perfect narrative. Whereas, as we see in this little dinner, even people were putting their foot in their mouths left and right in those 10 minutes. Like, it's vastly different doing it in person.
Yeah. I feel like it's so understated, just like that we kind of just assume that texting is an extension of regular communication, but they are so completely different. In terms of like, you're basically an entirely different person when you're texting, because you're filtered in a different way, and who you are is entirely about what filters are on you. Right. It's very fascinating, very interesting stuff. I think that there's a lot more that can be done in this format. And I'd be very curious, especially since they do so many different like country versions of this show, I would love to see them just try different kinds of games to play in this sort of variant that doesn't necessarily even have to have catfish or anything. There are so many different things that can be done, I think, with text communication like this. I'd be very interested to see all kinds of stuff here. But
it really does make you think as well. And we've all considered this because we're human. When we watch the show, we often like to put ourselves in the situation of, oh, I wonder how I would do on it. You know, I wonder what I would do in that situation. And I can hand on heart say, I would suck at the circle. I would be so, so bad at the circle because, I mean, being British, almost everything I say, everything that comes out of my mouth has this little hint of sarcasm. And you know what doesn't work over text? Sarcasm. Sarcasm sinks like an anchor over text. And I don't think that's something I can remove from my personality. So I would just accept that I would be really, really bad at the circle. How do you guys think you would fare? Hand on heart, all 100% honesty in the circle.
Up until this season, well, first of all, I think I'd do well, you know, not to toot my own horn. I think that's maybe where I would shine. Whereas in other places, like if you meet me in person, especially in the beginning, I'm quiet. I'm more observant than I am speaking. If I get to know you well enough, I won't shut up. But with texting, that gets removed completely. I had always thought up until this season that if I was to do it, I would be a catfish and I would be Liana with my personality. That's how I would play it. Liana has a lot of interesting stories, pictures like she can use. After this season, I was like, I don't know if I can, I don't want to trip up like that. I was like, maybe I'll just be myself. Maybe that's the move. But this is definitely genuinely the only show where I would even remotely consider applying for at this point in my life. And yeah, I think it'd be fun.
Yeah. So my thing with texting and is that I think that I could do it. I think that I could do it well, but I would hate it the entire time. I would be hating my life the entire time. I would be an anxious mess, and I would be texting like I was me, just being chill, but I would be dying on the inside because I'd be hating it so much. Cause that is me. That is like you know, you're close to me if I don't want to text you, because that's me. Like, I don't want to have to do that with you. I just want to talk to you. You know what I mean? Like, with people I don't know very well, I can't tell them, no, I don't want to text you, because, you know, that's rude. It's just like, I mean, I'll get there, but I'll hate doing it. That's my thing.
Yeah. I think for me, I think it could go either way. I think in terms of how I communicate with people nowadays, I think it really depends on the person. I love in-person communication, but if people want to text, I will text them and I will actually have a normal conversation with them as if I were having a conversation with them in person. And I think for that reason, I think it would be very easily transferable for me to play the circle. And I think also I would be myself. I wouldn't want to worry about the whole telling some false story and then getting caught and some sort of detail, you know, being brought up. Or I would literally have to write an entire story where I basically have the ins and outs and specific details if I decide to be a catfish. But I think I would just want to go in there as a genuine person. And I think one thing that I've played some sort of like either like online games as well as I've played like a live reality style game before. And one thing I think that really has always worked for me is that I form genuine social connections with people. Whether that is not only are we talking about game, but I think it's also really important to get to know the person and the individual. So I don't know necessarily if I would win per se, but I feel like I would do decently well because I think that basically how I play in games, I think would just transfer well because I kind of already do that. I already communicate in that sort of way in real life.
From the sounds of it, I think you'd kick ass. I think you'd do really well. I enjoy that. I can't wait to see it. Applications are open. I mean,
fire it. I'll say in a few years, you know, I still have 2 years of law school to finish before I get there. But, you know, I think even more so after watching this season of The Circle, especially, and Celeb Circle, I'm just like, oh, I really, really like love the show because I feel like the U.S. version, like the first season was OK. But I think like even more and more, I'm like, I think I would love this sort of experience. And I think that's the one nice thing, too, is like if I have opinions and feelings about people, you know, with Big Brother and Survivor, they might be able to tell like how I'm feeling, you know, about them, living with them and being within that same space. But I think the one nice thing about The Circle is like even with Manrika, I feel like, you know, she tend to do it where she would express her real opinion about what someone said or what someone did out loud verbally. But then like in the message, it would be a whole nother story. And I think that's the one nice thing is like you don't have to really interact with people, but you can be either yourself or whatever you want to be to other people and say what you need to say. To get people on your side.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're here in the final. We introduce the final five. There's a super awkward interaction between Manrika and Gemma, where it's like, Ooh. Do we hug or no? Emma is really going to be pushing the Saeed and Manrika thing, as we said. She's like, you were so nervous every time she talked to you. And he was like, oh, it was the kitchen's fault. There's something going wrong in the kitchen every time. And he's like, I'm just really, really geeky. And the only thing is that this thing's in the kitchen happened. And then I get nervous around, you know, because she's like taller than me. And it's just, I don't even know what's happening anymore. And Emma's just really pushing it. And it's very awkward. She asks Andy, do you still prefer a real person to win? He says yes, but he wouldn't be as disappointed as he thought he would be if a catfish won. I feel like I've seen Andy talk and he basically was like, yeah, I went in not wanting a catfish to win, but I honestly didn't really care. Like 2 days in, like it didn't matter to me anymore because I liked Saeed so much and he ended up liking Dot so much and so on and so forth. So I think that for some reason they really want the Andy character, I think, on the show, be like anti catfish. I guess because they want that tension of like, oh, the catfish are going to be in so much trouble, and they don't even have the confrontation between the ones that actually matter. So, yeah, Felix is our winner.
Yay!
Yay, Felix. Well, I closed the fist up. It's fine.
Priya, go ahead.
No, Rowan, please, I beg.
No, I was just going to do a small little point of a little pat on the back, I think, in part to the editors, just because, as we mentioned earlier, we really didn't know coming into this finale until the final results were read. We really didn't know who was going to win. And it would have been very, very easy, with it being pre-recorded, for them just to give one person a clear winner edit. And frankly, we've been seeing that quite a lot on Survivor recently. So it was refreshing to really come down to this final decision. And largely, 4 out of the 5 people that were standing there stood a chance, in my mind. So yeah, thank you for that.
Actually, I have a theory about this. So with shows like this, so they're used to filming it live and doing a very quick turnaround. Shows yes. like American Ninja Warrior do something similar, where most of their filming and editing is done simultaneously, as though it's going to be aired very quickly, even though they have lots of time afterward. And, you know, things like Big Brother Canada, they film their live shows live to tape, which include many of the mistakes that were made, even though they had time to edit them. So they've been doing these reveal rooms with yes. the eliminated players, blocked players. And in these reveal rooms, assuming that we're seeing the same thing they're seeing, they're seeing full on edited clips of what we see in the show, which tells me, I think that they're probably, and it doesn't really make sense otherwise, if you think about it, that they are doing this. They're using the same editing process that they used when they were doing it live. Yes. And that they are doing most of their editing in real time as the show goes. And then maybe coming back in and adding some extra stuff here and there, depending on whether they feel they need to or not. Right. But that would also make sense for why they leave in a weird jump cut with Joey and Pippa. Right. So that would be my theory on this stuff. So I think that probably there wasn't much of a winner's edit because they probably didn't know who the winner was when they were editing most of it.
Which I'm okay with. I love that. I would much prefer that than from like episode 2. I'm like, okay, well, edgically speaking, this is what they've done. This is what that means. I much prefer going into the finale thinking literally any of these 4 could win, and I'm okay with it. Like I would much rather have that. I do want to share something here for the video audience. This is the faces of everyone when Saeed is announced as 4th. Look how shocked they all are. Look, like, everyone, and this is not capturing the people that the blocked people that were also shocked. I like, here's the thing, Saeed not winning, fine. Saeed being 4th, my jaw was on the floor as well. So I just wanted to put that out there.
I had literally audibly screamed. I was shocked. I was like, I had thought that, like, I don't know, in my head, I was like, Saeed could very well win this game. So the fact that he was 4th, I was as shocked as all of them were. So yeah, I mean, that you brought that clip.
This is very classic Manrika as well, though. She put Saeed last apart from Tom. So where she's like, what? My plan actually worked?
Manrika is still playing the game today.
Exactly.
Like, she's still playing the game. I can guarantee you.
Here were the final rankings here. Saeed had Andy 1st, Manrika 2nd, Tom 3rd, Felix last. And as I said, I think this may have been the most tactical ratings of any of them. But could also have just been genuine feeling. We do know that, I don't think there's any chance that he thought that Tom was not a catfish at this point. So I think that putting Felix last was an attempt to make sure that Felix did not win, while still putting his buds, Andy and Manrika, above. Andy puts Saeed 1st, Felix 2nd, Manrika 3rd, Tom last. That is straight just Andy's personal feelings.
Yeah,
100%. Tom does Felix. Actually, let's save Tom for last because he's the most important. Manrika does Felix 1st, Andy 2nd, Saeed 3rd, Tom last. Now, she says that she's doing this tactically. I'm trying to figure out exactly why she thought this was tactful. First of all, if she puts Tom 1st, she wins. that's the tactics, right? Like that's, but I assume that she was worried that Tom, that if everyone does that, then Tom would win. But here's the thing. Again, this is prisoner's dilemma. If everyone is doing that, then you've already lost by putting Tom last. So you might as well put Tom first. So in the end, again, I think she says it's tactical, but it just like many of, I think, of her decisions throughout the game, it was infected by her personal feelings here. And she ends up putting Felix first. And then I think the tactical nature was Andy second over Saeed more than anything, fearing that Saeed would make it there, thinking probably that, okay, Andy has been rated last a bunch of times because people were too worried about him winning. He's probably somebody I can afford to put second. And Saeed is somebody that could probably sneak up and win this. So I'm going to put him third. And Felix, I can only imagine she puts Felix first, assuming that maybe that Saeed is going to put Felix low, maybe assuming that Tom will put Felix low. Maybe that's what it is. And maybe part of it too is, look, if it's not going to be me, I hope it's him. Right. And then when we have a life together, we can share the money.
There is a world where Manrika could convince me or try to convince me that rating Felix number one was tactical. It was fully strategy because I believe in the ratings that preceded the final, Felix was in last place. He was rated last. So maybe in her mind, that makes sense. Now that she could get away with that if she hadn't also have rated Felix first in like the last eight ratings. And that's that's the nail in the coffin for me that makes me believe this was head over heart.
And again,
heart over head.
Yeah. Yes. If Tom had been first, then I would have been like, okay, definitely tactical rating, right? But
Yeah.
I mean, I just messed around with my Google Sheets. Here's the messed up part with this tie vote. Outside of her putting Tom first, if she had put Andy first or Saeed first, they would have tied and that person would have won. So it's so sad. So sad. Like all she could have done was put Tom first to win at that point.
The same is true for basically anyone, right? Except for Saeed, who was screwed by Tom. Basically if anybody had put anybody else first, that person would have won. That was Manrika's. Felix puts Manrika first, Saeed second, Andy third, Tom last. This was a little surprising to me that Saeed was second. That definitely screams slightly tactical to me, considering that she, I think, was closer to Andy in the game. But obviously, it was the correct move here to put that in play. But also doesn't put Tom in first. Nobody does. Nobody puts Tom anywhere higher than third place where Saeed put him. And like I said, any single one of these players apart from Saeed, so Andy, Manrika, or Felix could have won the game by putting Tom first. So I guess you really can only say that to Andy and Manrika, considering Felix already did win the game. Then Tom decides the order. Tom is last place. Tom puts Saeed fourth. Saeed gets fourth place. Andy third. Andy gets third place. Manrika second. Manrika gets second place. And Felix first wins the game.
There you go. Your decisions were made by Joey, aka Femi, and Pippa, aka Pippa. That is the end of it. Interestingly enough, again, did the numbers moving around a little bit. If Felix does put Andy second and Saeed third, then there's a three-way tie for first place, which is just insane to think about. But then obviously Felix would still win because Tom said, Felix, you are the winner.
Yeah. And I would love to hear from Felix, or sorry, from Joey and Pippa for like what their tactical reason was for putting Felix first. I would assume that it was those ratings. Felix was last prior. And feeling like, again, Saeed doesn't like Felix. So hopefully if Saeed puts Felix low, I can afford to put him high. Massive impact that those final ratings were not revealed. I don't think even we saw the results of those ratings. We just saw that Andy was first, but, the fact that the last ratings results, right? Let me see if I can find them here. The last time we saw any results in the ratings, it was Felix in last place, followed by Dot, followed by Andy, and Manrika and Saeed were first, tied for first. That was really bad for Saeed. I think that's probably what cost Saeed the win, getting that that influencer and then not having the results revealed in the following ratings, where Saeed was certainly lower. Andy was definitely helped by it, but he had been influencer so many times, I think it wasn't going to help him much at all. Manrika, obviously, apart from Tom, nobody was ranking Manrika high for tactical reasons. They were ranking her high for emotional reasons. And Tom ends up putting Manrika in second place. I'm not sure why. I don't know why they would have thought that Manrika would be low, but maybe they assumed that other people might be ranking tactically. I'm not sure, but in the end, that's what it comes down to. They end up in a stalemate with each other, and then Tom decides the winner because none of them took that prisoner's dilemma and took the win for themselves by putting Tom at the top. And that's our season. That's what we got.
There is one final question that I would like to pose to the panel. I've been seeing a little bit of buzz about it on Facebook and Twitter. I don't know why I go on Facebook. I'm not going to get like sane, reasonable arguments, but it's quite fun just to see the middle-aged mums sort of arguing. What I have seen a little bit of buzz around, and I feel strongly about this, but I want to hear some other opinions before I just completely go in on it. Seen a little bit of buzz around people saying they think it should all come down to a public vote. The public should decide the winner. Opinions, please.
So given that the circle, we just credited them for at least like editing in real time, so it keeps everything open, you could argue that, you know, but then someone like Manrika has no shot to win at all. Someone like Saeed, I love Saeed. So for me, Saeed would have won the season, right? Yep. If it was public. I'm okay with that, but I wanted Saeed to win it from the peers, not from the audience. And I think that's the main takeaway for me, is that that should definitely not be the case, because then all it does for future seasons is makes it so that you come in as the best, nicest version of yourself, and it removes the rawness of being mad at people. It takes the rawness out of, oh, I'm going to go confront them when I meet them because I'm mad at them. Like, it takes all of that out. So I would like for that not to be a part of the circle.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want them to play, like, I wouldn't want people to play for the audience. I think that probably would take out the entertainment value of the show. And I think because the whole show involves you ranking your fellow players, I think why change it for the last ranking? You know, I think you go through this whole journey of this game for a few weeks where you're interacting with these people, getting to know each other. And ultimately, I feel like that final decision should come down to the people that you're playing with, and you should decide who ultimately gets the money. And I think the people who are watching definitely will, some people probably have certain biased opinions, and some people respect strategic gameplay. Some people just want the nice, genuine person. And that's where I think an audience vote would make it very flawed.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, I think if you ask people on this podcast in this country, you're going to get this answer. Obviously, the culture is a bit different in the UK. They're a lot more used to audience votes. They do have shows that are successful with that format, but I don't know that this is the show that would work for that quite as well. And at the end of the day, Big Brother US is still going strong. Big Brother UK, not there anymore, right? I think there's a reason for that. I think there's a lot more longevity to letting them manage themselves. And I actually think that, you know, we started the season talking about how the end, you know, the ending of this game is flawed because of how the ratings happen. But, you know, going through the season, I think I was reminded of why it worked in season one and why it didn't in season two and why it might have not worked in this season. And I think that reason is that they are allowing new players in the end. I think that the final actually is kind of fine as long as it's full of people who have been there for a while and you know their story and they have relationships with one another. Because if that's the case, then even if it is a little bit random, there's still something to it. It's, do they rank on their relationships or do they rank on tactics? And if they rank on tactics, does that screw themselves over or does it screw their friends over or does it get them the win? If Manrika had rated Tom first and won this game because of it, that would have been an amazing story. And it would have pissed off the audience and it would have got them like all riled up. And then next time they would have been like, man, I really hope that doesn't happen again. Right. Like, that for me is great television. And I believe I saw that this finale was the highest rated finale of any Circle finale. Like they're making moves here. They're doing well. So I think that I think that if Dot had been in this finale, then it would have been perfect. And there would have been, I wouldn't have had any issue with how it went because every single one of them had a case to win. And any single one of them winning would have been fine with me because it would have come down to all of their collective decision making. And it would have been very interesting to see how that played out. I think the only reason it's flawed is because, you know, looking at celebrity, you had Big Nasty there who wasn't really liked by anybody, won because of tactical voting. It was fun. It was a 6-episode season. It wasn't a big deal, but kind of exemplified some of the flaws, right? Season 2, when Patty wins, it's like, really? Definitely highlighted the flaws. But season 1 was great because any one of them from season 1 winning would have been great. Every one of them had a story. Every one of them winning would have been interesting. And I think when you can get a group of people where any one of them winning is interesting, then you can have a final that is like this. I don't think you even need to change it up, although I would love to see a different version of this, and I would love to see a different way to end the game. I think that the better solution is to just not force new players into the final. Let the established players get there, and it'll be a lot more fun.
And I wonder if there was that paranoia that Tom would win as a new player who has not been there at all, regardless of who Tom is. And I wonder if that's why people in their mindset were not like, I'm not going to rank Tom higher and risk Tom winning. And so maybe some people felt that I'm just going to rank him lower. I think maybe all of those scenarios with the whole Alice and Tom thing really brought the OGs together. And basically, aside, you know, from the whole, I guess, you know, Saeed situation, everyone basically kept their OG people in the top, probably because they're like, it doesn't make sense for Tom to win this game. And so I think that maybe that could have been something going through Manrika's mind why she didn't even think to rank Tom much higher.
I think you're absolutely right. I think the problem is that if you continue along that line of thought logically, it actually doesn't make sense to do it, because I want to make sure Tom doesn't win. So I'm going to rank him low and I'm going to trust that other people are ranking him low. But Tom can only win if the other people don't fulfill that trust and they rank him high. And if they're ranking him high and you end up ranking him low, all you're doing is guaranteeing that you lose and he still might win. So there is zero downside to putting Tom first, because if everyone else follows through, he still doesn't win. And now you do. And if everyone doesn't follow through, then he probably would have won anyway. And you just would have guaranteed your own loss. So it's actually kind of a no-brainer. And it's kind of surprising that it hasn't happened more often. And I think the longer the show goes on, the more people will realize that that is the no-brainer choice.
I do wonder how long they have to really think about these rankings, though. And because I feel like if they had time to think about it, then maybe they would come to the conclusion that you've come to, Taryn, which I think definitely makes a lot of sense. But then I think if they have only, like, who knows, a few minutes, I think you're going to be like, well, I don't want Tom to win, so just put him at the bottom. But then not realizing that could also prevent you from winning, like we saw with Manrika.
Mm-hmm. I think that ultimately, in looking at quickly while we were having this discussion, looking at the season 2 cast, looking at the season 3 cast, Patty comes in day 10. Felix comes in day 5. I think there's a sweet spot here where, like, by day 8, maybe day 9, lock up the new entries, have it like, I don't think there's going to be a problem if the circle starts off with, if you want to have a cast of like 14, start the season off with 10 people, yeah. 12 people even, and then have like one, maybe a second time where you inject two people in, then lock it up. I don't think you're going to have any flaws. I don't think people are going to be out on it. I don't think there's going to be a big uproar about it. And you get all of your best characters, like someone like Shabazz, who comes in as Alex. I initially saw Shabazz, I was like, I hope you're playing yourself. Oh, you're not. I'm upset about that. But then the more we got from Shabazz, I was in a weird place where I liked Shabazz, but I did not care about Alice. I just didn't care about Alice at all. I was like, if you were here episode 4 or 5, I might give a damn. Like, I just don't. So I think that's the inherent flaw as far as the rankings go. And obviously season one, we finished it at final four. If they had a final four here, Tom would have been the one removed. Easily decided Tom would have been the one removed. You have these four, things get a little bit more intriguing. So I think that that is the inherent flaw. As far as to go back to what started this whole discussion with the public voting, the public got their viewers' choice award, and that is all they need. I think that works. And I think once we go back outside of the pandemic into a more live format, they will bring that back in probably. Yeah. So the public will get theirs. And ultimately, I would love to think that, oh, the public vote would cause so that people don't really hate on other people because they can just vote for their winners. No, all that would do is they would give them the voting power and they would still go after all the people they hate. So, like, I don't like that.
Yeah, I think the public award, especially like, I feel like the first season, it was what, like 70-30, or it felt like it was pretty close to like it wasn't actually that much less than winning the actual show. And I think that's fine. Like, I think it's best of both worlds that there's a game, there's a winner of the game. And if you want to reward your favorite, boom, there's your option. And I think that the audience should be ranking. I don't think they should be voting for a single person. They should be ranking just like the players in the game.
I think that would work if they were to implement that. But even so, I still wouldn't like it.
Oh, yeah. No, don't get me wrong. I am over the moon that I am surrounded by sane people who want to just, like, when it comes to, like, for the big decision, want to just condemn public voting to the pits of hell of reality TV. I have seen public voting ruin countless shows here in the UK. I've got, it's my the hugest pet peeve when it comes to TV. I could write essays on how much I hate it. So yeah, thank you guys for being sane and also saying that it's absolutely terrible, because if it all comes down to a public vote, guess what? Like, the game's not deciding the winner, the editors are deciding the winner. And I've seen it happen countless times here. And it's really why I can't watch, or I couldn't watch when it was on Big Brother over here. I love the US format. I love it so much. But the UK format is just horrible, that it all comes down to, who does your next door neighbor Karen think is great? And she obviously thinks terribly.
I mean, the fact that all these shows are under the identity of reality TV means that everyone puts it in that, like, vision. So someone who is more casual of these shows and not like the, I'm here for the analytical, the social strategy of it all, they're seeing the good versus evil, and they will always pick good, right? So that is something that I think that, because everyone's looking at, a lot of people look at it that way, you just can't have it be a vote. If they somehow rebranded these shows as like social strategy and eliminated the word reality, maybe then the voting ends up being different, but I still don't trust it. And if I may get on my soapbox for a second, the game's over. Manrika took many L's, doesn't win, doesn't get the guy, doesn't get the uncle. Like, it's over. Let her live her life. Don't be tweeting at her. Don't be like, hashtag the circle, Manrika is a POS and I'm so happy she got hers. Like, who cares? The show's over. You had fun. It was a good season. Move on. It is not worth your time. And ultimately for you, this was a TV show you got to watch during the pandemic. This was very much her life for a month. And now this is her life forever, where people are going to come at her. So alleviate it. Don't be a part of the problem. Be a part of the solution. Just let it go.
Yeah, and I think in general, there's just such a huge issue with when people watch reality television. They should tweet what they feel if they want to tweet, but do not go in the DMs of that person and send them death threats and hate and stuff like that. The fact that I had to see Manrika put out a video on her Instagram about people sending her hate, and she said that she's fortunate that she has thicker skin, so she's been able to handle some of it. But even so, like, none of what Manrika has received is even warranted remotely. And I think that's one thing people need to realize. This is a game for money. So people are going to play the game and how they feel to play the game. And I think the one issue I did have was a lot of people would criticize Manrika for the game she was playing, but it's like a lot of people who were playing Catfish were doing similar things, but they were getting praised for doing those things. And so that's why I think people need to realize the people who are there, and since it is a reality television show, these are real people who have real feelings. And so people need to realize that what they do say can have an effect on those people and their mental health.
Yeah. And I feel like it's very easy to say, like, don't send death threats. That's bad. But I want to make sure that the message is clear here, because I don't want to make people feel like, well, I don't send death threats. I'm clearly a good person. It's not just death threats. You don't have to go that far to have severe impact. And I think that you know that person that's thinking that they're in the clear because they haven't sent a death threat. I think that like any kind of directed hate is bad, and it shouldn't happen. If you think that Manrika played a bad game, or you think that she is hypocritical or anything, all of those things, feel free to express your thoughts. Do not direct it at her. Do not make it personal. Do not bring it outside of the context of the show, because that's where things get really dangerous. And like, people's mental health is not something to play around with. Like, just because somebody is mean on a show does not mean they deserve to be hounded for it for the rest of their lives. And it's not as simple as just not going on social media or not going on the internet. Could you imagine trying to not go on the internet? Because even if you do manage to not go on the internet, you will always know in the back of your mind that the internet is there waiting for you to look at it, hating you, talking about you. You can't just block it out. It's not that easy. And if you haven't experienced it, you can't know that. So the idea that you are justified in any way sending that amount of vitriol, and again, it's fine to talk about a show, to criticize players, to do whatever you want in the context of your own, bubble or whatever. But when you are directing hate, personal hate at people, that is when you have crossed the line, and, get out of here with that. And I know that I'm probably speaking to people who aren't doing those things, but if you are one of those people that aren't doing those things, continue to spread this message, because it's a hard one to get out there, because it's not fun. It's not a fun message. It's the buzzkill message. It's the, like, hey, we're trying to have fun over here, why are you yelling at us message? But you need to be saying it loud and clear, because you do not want to be quiet and then have somebody, cause themselves harm or somebody else harm, and then feel like you did not do enough to stop it. So. Absolutely. This is something that I feel very strongly about.
I really
fisty
hope it doesn't
bump
put,
send.
Oh, fisty bump all the way. I hope it doesn't put Manrika off from potential further reality TV, because if there's anything that's been emphasized by the overwhelming, and it really has just been unlike most contestants in the UK, it's just been an overwhelming amount of hate. I want Manrika to use this as like a springboard. I want her to use this fact that, like, hey, look at me, casting teams. I am clearly a fantastic TV character. I can emote such or elicit such emotions from the audience. I want to see Manrika on, I think The Challenge would be a lovely, ideal fit for her. I would absolutely love to see her on that. But frankly, I'd watch Manrika in most reality TV shows, because she would deliver.
Yeah.
She was, at least for me, like, she was probably definitely a huge center of the season and was one of the rising stars that came out of it. Also, I'd say, Hashu, definitely. But I'd say that Manrika really, really, I think, showed what is possible of playing yourself, but also, working and using those relationships to succeed to an extent. I mean, obviously, she didn't win, But she still did come in second. So I think that's something definitely to note.
Yeah. And like I said, for me, this was the perfect ending. The season had a great story. Fisty bumps to Felix, because I really did enjoy watching her. And that's what we have. That is season 3 of The Circle UK. In what, like a week, less than a week? Just a few days.
The 14th.
On Wednesday. The Circle US is going to start up. And boy, does that look interesting. I watched the preview for it, and they really made a point of emphasizing that this was a much more strategically focused season. And if that's what they're emphasizing, I have to imagine that that's what they're going to deliver, because that's what they're advertising for. I think they must have gotten feedback last time that people were hoping for something more strategic. I know I was. And so it feels like that's what we have. I'm very excited about it. I do not know who the person from the show is, but I am excited to see somebody named Lance Bass. So I'm very excited. We're going to be covering that when it starts up. Make sure you look out for those podcasts starting on Wednesday when the show drops. So you'll be on the lookout for that. You can find me on Twitter at Armstrong Taren if you want any links to podcasts that I will be doing to cover the show. You can also find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taren Armstrong, all the time, doing stuff all the time. I'm also covering Big Brother Canada. You guys know this. Puya, what have you been up to?
I have been talking more Masked Singer. So that's been fun with Liana. We put the latest episode out today. You can check that on the Wrap Ups Network. 90 Day Fiancé, still going strong. Wrapping up that season, it'll be good. Big Brother firing on all cylinders. We'll be talking about that as well. And of course, I stream about 3 times a week over on twitch.tv/Puyaism. And I would like to use the last remainder of my plug time to talk about the fact that I looked it up. Apparently, Manrika was approached for the Love Island, said no because she realizes her connection with Saeed Hashu. This is from a website called OK Magazine, Rowan, from the UK. I'm trying to open the article. They're saying I can't because I'm not from there. I'm going to link it to you. Can you please look at it and tell us about it? Please?
Oh, fire away.
Because it might just be tabloid nonsense, but I read that.
Rowan, is this a tabloid nonsense source?
OK Magazine, yeah. It's not exactly...
Not OK Magazine.
No, it's not the most reputable. I'm on it now. The Circle's been...
Or it's OK, Love Island. But not great. In terms of the news that they provide. I don't know.
Cool. All right. Well, that's been my time.
All right. Well, Geneva, where can people find you as Rowan is reading up on tabloid nonsense?
Sure thing. So people can find me at Peace Love Gen, G-E-N, on Twitter. I tweet all about reality TV and just random things in life. Actually, this week, I guest podcasted on the Temptation wrap-up with Kirsten and Maggie. So we talked about episode 8. So definitely if you're watching that or not watching that and just interested in, crazy reality dating shows, check that out. And then you can also find me at Silent Podcast on YouTube with Sasha and Isaiah. And we talk some other reality TV shows as well.
All right.
Okay. So I've got the hot scoop. From the hot press of OK Magazine in the UK, it appears Manrika was approached at the start of the year. So before The Circle was even a thing, before that, well, she'd filmed it, but it obviously wasn't out in the reality TV ethos. But no, I mean, I'd much, much rather watch her on The Circle than Love Island. Love Island, there's no strategy there. Oh, it's a controversial opinion, but I think it's absolute trash TV. So I'm delighted. And that's going to cause some people, it's going to cause some ruckus in the comment section, but oh well. Delighted to see Manrika here on The Circle. And while I'm signing out, I just want to say thank you to so many people. Like, thank you to everyone who's given me the opportunity to be here on RHAP, something that I've been listening to for like double digit years. This is, as weird as it sounds, a dream come true to just like be part of this ecosystem. So thank you. For everyone who has made that possible. Thank you to everybody who has joined me week in, week out. It has been an absolute delight. And also, I mean, it just emphasizes that the RHAP family is like top tier in the internet, just unrivaled, because I've been receiving so many nice messages Like, it's just such a lovely community, and that is something that should be cherished. And it's why I've stuck around for double digit years. It is something that should be cherished on the internet, where it can be a minefield sometimes. So thank you. Just thank you to everybody.
Thank you for joining us, Rowan. It's been so much fun having you with us.
No, it's been a delight, honestly. It's been everything that I could have wanted and more. So thank you.
All right. Did the link say anything about Hashu?
I don't know why Hashu was even mentioned. I'm pretty sure classic OK magazine, that was kind of clickbait.
Yeah, we got clickbaited.
Yeah.
But maybe they heard through the grapevine that Manrika didn't find love, so they're like, let's try out Love Island for her, see if she can find a guy over there. But
Puya, you got catfished.
Big time. And I'm not okay. Maybe I'm Andy. I'm not okay with it. I'm not happy that OK Magazine catfished itself as a reputable source and then fooled me, because I can't turn on my VPN mid podcast because it'll like lag me out. I don't want to do that. So yeah, thanks for nothing, OK Magazine.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much for joining us across this. What a few weeks here in the Circle Land, from the UK celebrity to the UK. Season 3 proper, and we will be heading into the US season 2 very soon. So thank you guys so much for joining us, and see you next time.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com, and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky?
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.